This podcast is brought to you by Shout Engine. In less than 5 minutes, you can start your own podcast for free with ShoutEngine.com.
Hey guys, it's Chris from the podcast. Some of you might be aware I've been working on a mobile app for a while. That app is called Guardian Circle and is available now on iOS and Android. In many large cities throughout the world, 911 services either don't exist or aren't very efficient. Guardian Circle was created to fix that problem and help in cases where it might not be necessary to call emergency services, but you or a family member may need help. In Guardian Circle, all you need to do is log in with your phone number and invite a few friends and family members to create your personal safety network. When you or somebody you know needs help, just tap two buttons and a push notification is sent to all your guardians in your personal safety network. The push notification takes your guardians to a GPS-aware alert room that helps organize assistance. Regardless of whether or not your guardians know each other, they all know that you have put trust in them. That is the most important part of Guardian Circle. Organizing group response with centralized communication. We've partnered with the XPRIZE Foundation to power the Global Women's Safety Initiative to curb domestic violence and rape. In cooperation with the Indian government, the XPRIZE Foundation will distribute Guardian Circle on up to 50 million purpose-built devices throughout India and with the goal of ultimately eradicating violence against women. That said, we're partnering with municipalities and organizations in the United States and abroad to help anybody get the assistance they need in urgent and emergency situations. Guardian Circle is 100% free and is available on the iOS App Store and Google Play right now.
Panamera Turbo I drove. Not the blue one we took to Yosemite. Right. The one on the launch was Arena Red.
Recording has commenced, by the way.
Has it? Yes. Well, let's fucking talk about something interesting. Hello. What's happening?
What's happening? How y'all doing out there?
Hi.
I don't know.
Hi.
I don't know whose voice that is.
Towley.
Towley.
No, it sounds like the old man from
Family. Yeah. That's Herbert the Pervert.
Herbert, is that,
that
Herbert
character the Pervert. Has a name?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that guy had a name.
Chris.
Herbert the Pervert. Chris. All right. Uh-huh. Tim is in the house.
Hello.
What's happening?
What's going on?
Bienvenidos. I just send the fuck my car back to you this morning.
Today. Okay.
It was today. It didn't break today. It broke last week. I just didn't have time to actually send it down.
Rear end broke.
Line? Yeah, the rear end is making a horrible sound that I don't like at all.
And we're hoping it's like a half shaft or something.
Dude, you know...
Something that we haven't replaced yet.
The fucking thing is with this car, I'm just worried that we're on to replacing things that are new. That's what I'm really... If something failed that is part of the new construction, I won't be... I don't know what to do with this fucking thing.
You know what I think.
Sell it. I know. Burn it. Make it disappear. Call a Croatian.
All of which are part of my list.
Acceptable. Yeah.
I hate to say it.
Sell it to you cheap.
Fucking, yeah, sell it to me cheap. I love that fucking car, but the thing is...
You think it's cursed?
I don't know.
It was a law enforcement car.
Just give it to me, and I'll let you know if it's cursed or not.
I had a moment recently where I considered giving it to you on trade for future Porsche maintenance.
Deal.
Like, I would give it to you.
As like a kit, put it in the kitty.
Like, you can have it.
Yeah.
And then if I have a Porsche and need things, which I will because I have a Porsche, would hypothetically, then... It would just, you know, eventually it would tabulate off.
Especially
so that's
Porsche
good for
tax.
Like six that oil changes and a tire rotation,
yeah, yeah,
right?
Because I feel like this car, if you are a wrench, none of the things that have come up with this car are a pain in the dick. If you're me and it's a back and forth and a back and forth and a back.
It's like a 30-mile tow.
Yeah, what a fuck, what a pain in the balls.
Yeah.
Project cars aren't for people who can't wrench on them themselves. They're just not.
Project cars are also not for people who own shops.
are you too busy, or you just lose your entire life?
Well, all of it, because you know that saying, "The shoemaker doesn't have shoes."
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
can you get a little closer on the mic?
Yeah, it is. It is super true. It is.
Bring the mic to you. Don't lean up. Otherwise, you'll just lean back.
Hello, Mike.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, no. You run into that where. The last thing you want to do, honestly, is although I love it, I love every minute of it, is I just kind of want to
go home.
Right.
You know, yeah. It's like, I don't want to get done working on somebody else's stuff, you know, or in the shop environment and then staying there longer. Because there's part of the whole thing, like, we put all the cars in at night, we tuck the shop in and everything. So if you're going to stay late, then that all instead of having six people do it with you in like 5 minutes, you get that pleasure of
you're surrounded by, you know, every inch full of customer cars.
That, yeah,
you know, because the shop becomes a parking garage at night, basically.
It does, and then you start getting sad because you're like, well, everybody who works at BBI are 10 times better at their job than I am. And then you're like, oh, shit, it'd just be so much faster if I just had, like, Tony hammer this out or something like that. And the last thing he wants to do is hang out. You know, it's like,
this is my thought process exactly. Yeah. I could learn to do this, but the time I would spend fucking doing it.
That's why I drive a 2017 Volkswagen station wagon. It's just like Dadmobile. It's good.
I'm so jealous. I have a new car as well that works properly.
Just keep isn't that convenient? A new car that works.
A new car. Yeah, Chris has a newish car that is there a 14 or a 15?
15.
He's got a 15 Fiesta ST that's like on the verge of lemon law. Yeah.
Is it transmission related?
No, it's not. That's the Focus.
Oh, like, that's right.
All the Focus dual clutches are just
the automatics. No, his has fucking electrical gremlins like a fucking British Leyland car.
Love it.
I you know what I was I had to do the brakes the other day and I was looking at the brakes and I'm like, Lucas, I wonder what else is on here. Fucking Lucas.
You're like, damn it. Yeah. Here we go.
Well, wait. I mean, that is it. I mean, it's a Euro-engineered car, so I bet you there's a shit ton of Lucas electronics in there.
Is Lucas still around? There's Lucas things in things still? I thought
I shit you not. My brakes are Lucas.
No, I think they are, and I think they diversified past the wiring.
Is it the same company?
Though? Oh, yeah. Yeah, same company. Right. You know, or like Magneti Marelli.
You'd
think like, oh, God, here comes a car with that stuff on it. And then all of a sudden, you look at Formula One, and they're doing like some of the most advanced regen equipment out there.
Working for
them. Nino's sister.
That's right.
Nino's sister works at Magneti Marelli. And Nino's sister's husband is the powertrain engineer for the Trackhawk. Or one of the powertrain engineers for Trackhawk.
That's a good place.
Nino
to be.
Just can't get away from cars, that poor son of a bitch.
No, he's trying. Yeah. He's trying. My car fucked?
I don't know yet. Tony drove it. He tried calling you. He's like, hey, listen, how much do you have to drive? He's like, it kind of sounds like the gears are like straight cut gears in it. I'm like, I don't think that's how
that's
it sounds.
That's not supposed to sound like that.
I was like,
that's what it sounded like.
Yeah.
I was like,
I think that's the sound he's talking about.
Hey, maybe they are straight cut. We just didn't know.
No, it was,
maybe
it,
we upgraded got, your like, gearbox because we love you.
It got progressively worse throughout the day.
Yeah.
I don't want to like, I accidentally self-diagnosed this car.
And we didn't we go over this before?
Yeah, because I fucked myself. Because you assumed I knew what I was talking about.
Yeah.
Which was your mistake.
Yeah,
I knew what I was talking about, which was my mistake.
Bigger mistake on my part.
Right, and I wrote a whole column about how you should only tell your mechanic the symptoms of the problem and not try and guess what the fucking problem is. And so I just tried to tell you that it makes a horrible ass noise from the back of the car that you can hear while the car is moving, whether you're in neutral or in gear. You can hear it in any gear. Although you hear it more in the lower gears at lower speeds.
Right.
You hear it the most if you just coast in neutral at 10 miles an hour.
Right, right.
And that's when I don't want to guess and say it's differential, but I feel like
I'm
I
not
can
even
almost
listen,
hear
that's the thing.
Individual teeth, like ding, 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 ding. Like, and so I don't know. And I guess it got worse over the course of a driving day.
Well,
so
let me back
those
up.
Those are the symptoms.
I want to back
Tim
up.
Tim is refilling his beer.
Yeah, I'm refilling my beer. Yeah, I want to back up real quick.
Journey.
Now, I've gotten a few questions people were asking, basically like, when the fuck is Matt going to get a 911? And then bring it to BBI.
Probably soon.
Yeah, so.
I don't want another project.
I will.
Though.
You don't. Okay. Well, here's the cool part about 911s. You ease up on it. You know, yeah. But they keep running.
Yeah, they're fun enough when they're stock. Unless you're Patrick Stevenson. But they're fun enough when they're stock. Yeah.
I don't want to get started, Patrick.
I saw the video of when you just crank. That's done. I was
I would like to buy a 911.
Yeah,
I would.
They're great.
I've almost bought two Mercedes SL500s. In the last month.
Really?
They're boxy and convertibles and fucking auto. They only came in automatic, which I love.
Yeah.
It's great for LA.
Yeah.
But no, I'll probably get a 911 at some point.
All right, then we'll make the whole thing where I give you the kitty and you give me that car.
You want the deal?
Yeah, I want the deal.
All right, what is the offer? How much value?
Okay.
What's value and work?
Look, I know what I've had to charge you, so let's just start there and work backwards.
All right, we can discuss.
We'll talk about this offer.
I would entertain this offer. Mm-hmm. I'm not kidding.
I love the fact that you're getting rid of a car you haven't even really had a chance to drive fully yet.
All I've wanted is to drive it.
I think that's why the reason.
All I've wanted in the world. There is nothing worse than a fucking 14 by 8 foot, 3,000 pound box that you have to deal with, but you can't drive.
That looks cool as shit.
That looks cool as shit, and all you want to do is drive it. It's not worth anything. It's not worth any money. It's not like it's a fucking TR.
Yeah.
It's not worth anything. Yeah,
it's like, damn it.
It's not. I just got rid of my Corvette because it was a giant.
You got rid of your Corvette?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because it was a giant box that wasn't worth anything either.
Back into the 911 fund.
Right.
Corvette money into the 911 fund.
I know. They're all going.
Let's talk, what is on your radar if you fantasize about the 911? What is it?
GT3s are too much money, but it has to be a GT3.
It has to be
it?
A GT3.
You can still get a 997 GT3 for.
Or even a 996 GT3.
No.
Why?
Oh,
you don't. You don't like the dash and the headlights and all that crap, or what?
First off, I'm not buying any 996.
Because of that? The dash
because
and the headlights?
I hate them.
Dash and the headlights.
Because I think they're fucking ugly and I think they drive weird.
All right.
I think they drive weird. Don't you think they drive different than all other 911s?
The Carreras, because no offense to...
996 Carreras drive like trash. Yeah. Those brakes, I swear to God, I bought a PT Cruiser for $1,000 that have better brakes than a fucking 996 Carrera. Those brakes are garbage.
Depends on which direction you're going, but that's a different story for later.
Okay, if you're not going to get a GT3,
yeah,
the 997
Turbo
is a very, very viable option.
I know, they are.
I have a shit ton of stuff for that.
I know you do.
That could go to that Mustang fund.
You have parlayed this very well, I will say, too.
Good parlay.
Yeah.
But also, you know, this could end up in my favor. It's possible.
Most likely it will.
It's not likely because you know your costs and
let's just settle on the fact that both of you are making bad decisions.
Yes, 100%. With him owning a Mustang again. And Matt,
you're dreaming of owning a Mustang that is mostly done.
Yeah.
Gee, I hate working. I hate dumping money into this Mustang. Wait, I'll get a 911.
But you know what I do have?
The best 911 tuner shops in the country owe me something.
Yeah. You know what I do have though? I have a shop full of people that know your car inside now. Now.
Oh, so, that's all they want is to see that thing.
They would
full
probably
time.
Fucking murder me. They'd be like, "All right, we quit. Sorry, we had a good run, but
man, I think I should.
We
do
need
it
to close
just
BBI.
To torture Tony.
Oh, dude, he's probably like listening to this. Like, don't fucking do it. My phone's all melting.
No.
Yeah.
Oh boy. Well, you know, I'd like to have like 5 days with it. Maybe, who knows? Maybe whatever we figure out what it is and fix it, and I drive her 5 days.
Does it sound like it's coming from transmission or the rear end?
It's a rear end.
It sounds like it's something back there.
And I'm thinking half shafty or something.
Maybe
like
just
that.
The pinion gear backed out or something a little ways.
Tony thought the drive. Yeah, I know. Yeah, that doesn't sound good. That sounds terrible. Why would that happen?
That would account for the whining.
It was so crazy.
His eyebrows
like,
just went so high there.
Like, everyone's been like these cars. Like, I dailied fucking one of these back in the day. Why can't I daily this car?
Beat the death. I mean, we used to jump my buddy Johnny's Mustang so high. There's this road in Cold Creek Parkway back in Washington State. There's the little back offs. Dude, we did so much
bad things,
and they wouldn't die. If
you guys were running basically stock Mustangs, it maybe we were making more power.
I have a feeling that the thing is that, first off, 295s on all four corners.
Is a bad idea?
No, it's an awesome idea, but it generates a lot of grip, which is a lot of
stresses.
You know what? Then there's other people out there that are just hammering these things on track, like American Iron guys and all that.
Dude, these
so
guys
I
are
just,
running,
I'm just like,
too, it can't be that. It can't fall off a wall that quickly, right? Like if a 275 is what they're running on a Fox body in an endurance race,
right?
Then how is it I can't run a 295 on the street for one day?
I think we're literally just doing, like, going through everything, and then we, like, fix it. The car's like, oh, cool, thanks for fixing that. Let's break this.
You fix one thing, and it shovels the shit downstream.
Yeah, it's like that chain, you know, the weak link.
It's fucking crazy.
We're going to find it. We're going to find it, but...
So crazy.
I don't know
why. You had to straighten the fucking frame.
Oh, I forgot
that?
About that.
You forgot about that, didn't
That's
you?
Right.
Remember when the chassis was longer on one side
yes,
than
by
the
like by like a substantial amount.
Oh my god!
It was from the police officers smashing curbs with it on the right side. The right wheelbase
was pushed
a half inch shorter than the left side.
I remember Jeremy, our suspension engineer, comes up to me. He's like, "But then you got look." I don't always, you know, I usually I'm pretty good, but he's like, you got to look at these numbers. I'm like, there's no fucking way Matt was driving it like this. He's like, no, just watch. Measure, laser. We're like, fuck, the car is literally shorter on one side. It's like, how is he comfortable in this thing?
Holy crap.
The answer is I wasn't.
Yeah. The answer
police
is
car.
I reported it had sketchy that, handling characteristics.
Who knows what the variances were factory back then, too. Right.
That's true.
What was a bummer, though, was that, like, for the fucking 10 minutes it worked properly, it was glorious.
I remember when you let me drive it for the first time, and it literally was, like, time machine back to high school,
oh,
except with a proper car that,
yeah.
that turns in. The thing turns in so hard.
Like an Evo.
Yeah.
When it works properly, yeah. it is so good, and when you fucking... The numbers don't really indicate it, but, like, 280 wheel horsepower in that car is pretty fucking quick when you actually go when you hammer on.
Yeah, yeah.
It feels like a fast car.
That's why I want it to work and for you to have the experience. For
I need to drive
more
it.
Than one day.
If I ever, it's just if not, I, hey Zach, if I end up with this car, I will make it right, and I'm gonna give it back to you guys so you guys can go hammer it.
It'll be a press car for you, man. Your own car will be a press car.
That would be ideal, actually.
Well, yeah, press car. Really the one press car from BBI is a Mustang.
I'm driving on Friday. Your collab cars with HG.
Oh, nice.
The GT3 and the Turbo. I'm driving on Friday.
Oh, badass.
The one of the GT3 is fucking nuts.
The street cup car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They tell me about that thing.
Okay, so HG calls up and they say, "Hey, we got a customer who's very track focused and actually his name's I don't know, what should I say? I don't know. But anyways, he's the nicest guy on the planet. Like super good. He lives, sleeps and eats, breathes the track and he's like, "What are we going to do? I want to build the ultimate GT3." But we can't get in the engine or transmission. Okay, fine. Let's basically take a cup car.
Can't get in the engine or transmission.
They don't want to mess with the engine or transmission.
Just,
maybe
because
like,
he wants to just hammer on it. And
yeah,
just...
it's like simple things like exhaust, and that's uh-huh. really about it. But I just said, okay, cup car. You
so,
know?
What do you, so
was that, just out of curiosity, was that for warranty or spec reasons?
I think, to be honest, it's yeah. because I haven't even been in one yet, and we weren't going to go exploring.
Okay.
That's mm-hmm. probably most of the reason.
Wait. You mean... So he bought a cup car?
No, he bought a street GT3,
uh-huh.
put cup flares on it, cup, you know, 10-inch front, right. or 10-inch wide front wheels.
Wow.
HG managed to shove 295s under the front of it, you know, 325s on the rear. It's got our full street cup suspension package, roll bar, basically everything that we make for the GT3. It's got the cup car rear wing, the deck lid, and then HG put it all together into, like, I drove it out of Chuck Walla.
Is it pretty nuts?
It's fucking rad. It makes.
Is it better than the white car?
Okay,
the white car was fucking batshit.
Lap time to lap time, I think the white car on the Hoosiers.
The white car was the third fastest street car lap ever around that track. Did
yeah.
you know that?
Yeah. No, I didn't know that.
It was.
That's pretty badass.
Yeah, that was. I think.
And yeah, that car is so much better now since you've driven it. It's, you know, yeah. because Jared takes it out in the mornings. He does the cold start. He runs it around. And it's at the shop right now. One of the owners of the car, just his buddy borrowed it, went out to California Speedway, hammered on it for the day, came back, you know, so.
Yeah, it wasn't happy in traffic, but I guess that's
it is
now.
Yeah.
Yeah, apparently
yeah.
it's happy in traffic yeah. now, which is, that's the only complaint I had about the car. Otherwise, it was the best car ever.
Nice.
So, but this one being a GT3, it's a fucking auto. Right?
Yeah, it's a PDK.
It's PDK, it's a stock motor, so it's 100% chassis.
It's 100% chassis.
Cool.
And it is bad. I drove it. It was fun.
Yeah.
It gives me that feeling like, okay,
is
I've got...
Is it gutted too, or is it an interior?
No, it's full interior. Full interior. It's the way I'd do it. You okay. know, it's like how I'd want my
is
car...
It, you know, it's really stiff, track-focused, all that
no,
stuff. But
no,
just,
no, just wait. You guys, it's like, it's compliant. It's easy to drive. It's they did such a good job in putting the package together, you know. And
actually, I just fell into the same mistake most of the internet does, which is stiff equals fast. But
no,
it's
no,
like
no.
compliance.
No, stiff
grip,
does not equal
yeah.
fast.
No, you need. So okay, here's a good example. We just did a 997
.1, a 2008 GT3 RS. We built this car about 3 years ago as our buddy Chris's car. We put Olin's Road and Tracks on it in our full street cup.
Wait, backup Chris floor. Payne?
No, no, oh, not okay. Payne. Okay. Yeah, he's got GTR. He's got GTR fever. We just took the car back, put Olin TTXs, revalved the front, did the shorter cup car front dampers, revalved the rear, and really just did a just corrected some of the geometry on it.
Does that make it softer than stock, though?
Here's the thing. So it had the old dampers that he said were softer than the stock ones. And then these dampers we put on, we increased the spring rate by 200 pounds on all four corners. And he said the car drives even softer. Not softer. I mean, I shouldn't say softer. That's like a misconception. But it's like you take the tops of all the bumps on the road and you just mill them off. You know, the car is so much more compliant. The chassis feels like it's under you. It's not bouncing you out of your chair. It just feels damp, you know? And so... he picked up 3 seconds at Chuckwalla over his personal best.
Dude,
three seconds.
I remember.
And he says the car is so much more comfortable to drive, like even daily driving.
Dude, that's a short track for 3 seconds.
Every manufacturer is making their cars too stiff now.
The problem is they're trying to give you something that, like, oh, you paid for the money.
Yeah,
you press
the impression.
You press the sport button on the car. Like, sometimes I'm faster on track without the sport button on. You know, it's like. Yeah. You, like, let the chassis work a little bit more.
A lot of reviews I see now are like, if you can keep the chassis in comfort mode, but if you can turn up like shifting and throttle response, like M5s.
Like any Mercedes, the all AMG cars are fastest around the track in chassis, in comfort, and gearbox.
There's no secret. Yeah, it's like keep that tire on the ground, let it
and
be
my
compliant.
Focus is brutal in sport mode.
Oh, is it?
Oh.
It's just like feelings falling out.
Dude, it's brutal in normal mode. In fact, I just had the Lincoln Continental for a week with adaptive suspension in it. And I don't know
how
if
is
it
that
could,
car.
It's actually quite awesome. We can talk about it after the break more. But I think if you took the Lincoln Continental's adaptive shocks and put them as is in the Focus RS,
game over.
You could make the Focus faster.
Have you talked to the DSC guys?
Okay.
Yes.
DSC guys.
Yeah.
So we started messing with their stuff. You know, and Mike Levin.
Do you like it?
I do. And
I
you
drove
know what?
On it. It was pretty kick ass,
dude. Here, Mike Levitas, the guy who brainchilded this whole thing over at TPC, he's a maniac, and I love him.
He is a crazy person.
Yeah, I worked for him back in like 2001 at Daytona, and
really?
I was just like, dude, you're rad, you know? And so he calls me. He's like, hey, I got this thing. You got to check it out. You got to do it. He goes, I'm going to give it to you. It's all open source. The amount of information that this thing is bringing in and it's processing and outputting to each damper.
I can't believe it. Back it up. Why don't you explain what the DSC
okay.
is?
The DSC,
if you don't know what it is, it's pretty
it's
neat
a
little piece of hardware.
Okay, it's a very neat piece of software and hardware that, you know, typically what we end up doing is we take the adaptive suspension out of a car and run a static standard motorsport damper. Mm-hmm. What they're doing is they're saying, fuck it, take your damper that's stock in like a GT3 or whatever.
DSC stands for Dynamic Sport Controller.
Right. So, you know, you press the sport button, you get one, you get sport or non. They basically open that whole Pandora's box and say, we could just make from one end of the spectrum to the other, we can change your damping, your you know, your rebound, your compression, your raw yaw rate control, your, you know, they go through everything. And then it has a built-in yaw sensor that then can not only, instead of having like a very, I guess, uniform, like all four dampers are in sport mode and all four dampers aren't, you know, you can actually start playing with a roll couple.
It's active. It's active.
It's completely active. I mean, it's sampling 1,000 times a second. It's outputting all that data.
I can't believe they're getting that much data over the CAN bus to control that shit.
But it's all available. I mean, the CAN bus is asleep at you know, 500 hertz. You know, it's still not even doing anything.
Dude, it's so cool. So, like, when you – it has a G-force meter in it. Mm-hmm. So when you – hit the brakes, it loads up the fronts and softens the rears.
Well,
like when you get on the power,
I mean,
it
loads
literally
up
an accelerometer, the same as you have your phone.
It's accelerometer it's so like what you have on your phone. But then he's taken that and it plugs. Literally, you unplug the old one, you plug this one in, and it's done. And then he's taken a step farther with us. So he's like, hey, you can have open source. If you have a different spring rate, go in there and mess with it. Have fun, you know. And I'm just like,
but you can do it on a factory adaptive damper.
That's
the
beauty.
Which is
the
cool thing. You don't need to put in some fucking crazy.
That's because of that, not once have we replaced the dampers on a GT3.
This is like a reflash.
Seriously?
Yep.
You don't buy shocks anymore?
Spring package.
Really?
Which sucks because, well, I like shock sales and I like messing with valving and all that. But that's
but
very.
But what if you want, if someone wants to, is like an Olin still like one up from that though?
That's yeah, no low. Matter what, the Olin's is still, I mean, you can't beat it. No matter what, you're going to be faster. But you are very fixed at one thing unless you get out of your car and twist a couple knobs. Mm-hmm. I've always tried to adopt and embrace technology, right? And forward motion of adaptive technology. But you can't beat a race damper. So Mike knows that. He's a smart guy. So he just said, fuck it, I'll build my own damper too that works on my controller.
Oh, that bolts right into a GT3. They have what was the one I drove? Was it a Viper on tractive shocks?
Yes.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, on the tractive shocks.
CJ has one. Crazy. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. We played with that too.
So it's like reflashing your suspension. Like the 100%.
It's like running a standalone.
Yeah, it really is.
It's a standalone on an adaptive suspension.
As good as like Porsche's engineers are, they are still manufacturing to a certain price point when it comes to all that ECU shit. And these guys can come in it for $2,000, for their controller. You know, that's
or grand or whatever.
Whatever you're buying.
I think it's less. I think it's $1,200 or something.
Wow. Yeah. So you throw springs at it. We typically get rid of the progressive springs. We do a linear rate spring with some helpers on it and call it a day.
But they did say that they said they would work on a package for the RS because it desperately needs something. But I'd have to send my car to the East Coast, which is where they do it, and I couldn't swing that one. But if they come out with an RS kit, an RS plug and play, they'd sell a fuck ton of RS plug and plays.
Because imagine if you could just soften that fucker up a little bit and like just let it relax, like keep that tire on the ground.
Continental's shocks. Now say what you will about a front wheel drive based luxury car, and admittedly, I was 100% about this car until I went to the airport the other day and I saw 8 of them with the fucking commercial livery numbers on the side
on the bottom left
with the 16-inch wheels, and you go wah wah, and they go, oh, this isn't cool anymore. But I will say the adaptive shocks, shockingly good.
Yeah. Well, I wonder.
Pun intended. No pun intended.
I wonder if it's the same system that was in the Fusion Sport I drove, which was like. Because same parent company.
All right,
we'll
talk about Lincoln Continental and Fusion Sport right now. Fuck it. Sorry. Yeah. All right, we'll go back to Porsche.
It's the same parent company, the same thing. We drove that car around and we're like, this car rides crazy good, and it has pothole detection where, like, as the wheel drops into a hole 1,000 times a second, sends all this feedback to the shocks, and then tells the rear shocks, oh, here's how deep the hole was, here's how long it was. And then that rear wheel will dip less.
So you just glide.
It's crazy. It's really smart.
Dude. Yeah. So if you were real smart, you could use computer vision and IR to scan the road right ahead.
Someone does that.
Mercedes does it.
They're going to be the first where it's like they know what's happening ahead. Mm-hmm. But Ford, it's kind of like GM's MagRide. It feels a lot like that, which is not a bad thing. Yeah. So it's probably the same
shit. The Lincoln was crazy because in normal mode, it feels like this old school, like, wallowy boat. But without the associated shit steering and no feel pedals. Like, you've got good pedals and direct actually very short ratio steering, like CTSV close ratio steering.
Nice.
And then
it rode
like a wah 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 wah, and then you'd hit sport mode, and actually, like, where you see the video, actually, like, I hustled it down Angeles Crest like pretty quick. Pretty for big boaty car, and me and Hannah just did like 400 miles in it. We did a Palm Springs Joshua Tree hiking. Fucking lovely. Lovely car. Massage seats. Like, chill as fuck. Like, if it had a Jag badge
on it. You can call me next
it.
Time you go on one of those. I'll sit in the back seat and talk shit the whole time.
Dude, it was luxurious as fuck. It was like, if it had a Jaguar badge on it, nobody would question the price. As it is, people are going to be like, $80,000 for a Lincoln. Rah, rah, rah. But it was
nice. But the Continental back in the late 60s was
they were dope.
The dope.
I'll tell you what, if it had suicide doors, nobody would question it. They need
the door handles are sick.
They are sick.
They needed to do that.
But they
if they did like no B pillar and suicide doors.
Dude, they need a Chrysler 300 so badly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. They need it looked like a Phantom until, they needed some shit like that.
Realistically, this is their last shot, I think. If they can't sell these, there's a hard justification for keeping Lincoln around.
It's a great car. It is truly when you look at what $70,000 gets you worth of E-Class or 5 Series, like, it's actually not, you don't get, 5 Series are, like, expensive. Like, you don't get a lot of 5 Series for $70,000.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
It is crazy. Fuck. And, like,
the C63, if you option it up, can hit, like, 92.
Well, look, if you're looking at C63.
That's the lower, that's the lower model, or sorry, lower size bracket.
Like, remember that Jag XF we had, the red XF? Mm-hmm. That was $70,000, and this car was legit way nicer. The Continental was.
Yeah, but does it do burnouts like that Jag did? That thing was fucking awesome.
And, like, when I had that
There's something to be...
who's your market? Like, who's your market, really?
Like, when you have those big luxury cars with those all-wheel drive systems, like, at that big luxury car level, there's no difference between a transverse and like an S-Class Merc, like an all-wheel drive one. Like, you're not getting fucking oversteer in that thing. Like, it's gonna, it plows like a pig. Like, doesn't matter if it's transverse.
No, they're built to be safe above all.
It doesn't make a fucking difference. Yeah. Like, it corners pretty flat. It's not miserable in the canyons. Mm-hmm. Like, if you find yourself in a windy road, like, you press the S, and like, it does pretty,
and go have fun.
And you, it does pretty good.
Yeah, make,
like, pretty good.
Make your grandma sick in the back
seat.
The
massage seats were legit. The stereo sounded nice. And it was a very lovely road trip.
But I totally get the general public with Lincoln's history over the last 25 years of them looking at that and going, 80 fucking grand. For Lincoln?
I mean, look, it feels like if you really look at it objectively, like the materials, the seats, the shit, like it is on par. Like that A8 we had, the diesel, was like $87,000 or $88,000.
That was 2 years ago.
And that was It'd 2 years ago. Like, was that car 20 grand nicer? Like, it wasn't. It was not 20 grand nicer than
Not 20. No, and the seats in the Lincoln with like crazy adjustability with the different, cool. like.
30-way seats.
Yeah.
30-way.
Separate thigh third. Bolster. Go forward and back, up, down.
It has cool. left, right. I love like, it. You know those shoes that are like individual toe shoes?
Yeah. Oh, with
this
the...
has individual ass cheek adjustments.
For the scoliosis.
It's so good.
Wow. That's awesome.
Nice. Pretty cool.
That's pretty cool. That's impressive.
Well, you can compensate for your wallet on the one side.
Joke. I take mine out because of that now.
Yeah. Ford's radar cruise control, not as good as Porsche's or as good as Mercedes. Like, Mercedes has a dynamic...
A little sketchy.
I don't think anybody does as
Mercedes
good as Mercedes.
Radar cruise. I mean, Tesla's
on the radar, aren't they? The radar and the IR and the...
Yeah.
How, like, have you driven Mazdas? Have you used theirs before? Like, it's fine.
I can't recall. This one, like, I would say it sees the distance you set, it sees as a hard wall. So, like, it'll be, like, accelerating, like, closer than you think, and then it will, like, hit the brakes, whereas Mercedes has a longer-range radar and will start making adjustments from further away, giving you a much smoother driving experience. So it was not... Like, it worked. It worked fine, but it was not the most confidence-inspiring of the systems. But I will say that for $70,000 as tested, it was a ton of car.
That's
and
awesome.
And I really, really enjoyed
it. What was it powered by?
3-liter twin-turbo transverse with Haldex all-wheel drive V6, 400 horsepower, 400 pounds.
So it sounds like it's got to be built on the Taurus platform.
It's Taurus Fusion, same platform.
It's like EcoBoost. They just don't want to say EcoBoost.
It is EcoBoost. Three-liter EcoBoost.
Yeah.
It's a fucking tough little motor, actually. It gives you really nice power. You know, you cannot make a V6 in any way sound refined enough for a very expensive car. Like, maybe Porsche can pull it off with that 3-liter.
The new Maserati V6 sounds.
Maserati. Yeah. Okay, fine. Maserati. All right. Ford can't make it.
For the price point they're hitting, no.
I would also say, like, is the Maserati refinement or sounding good? Like, the Alpha, everyone says, sounds awesome, but none of them say it's
not,
quiet.
Well, you're right. Yeah. It's not refined. Yeah. It sounds
like
good.
The million-mile Lexus is still a little more, you know, refined.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That V8 is... A V8 is just so smooth. Mm-hmm. Like, a V6...
Well, inherently, it's just more balanced.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
At a certain price point, you know... Now, fortunately, the Lincoln is... very, like, isolated. Like, it's really, like, the door closes, like, a really, you know, it's very solid, and it's, like, you're really well insulated from the outside world, so you don't hear a whole lot of the engine unless you put your foot in it.
How's the inside trimmed out? It's all nice, and...
It's pretty nice, man. Yeah. The speaker grills are that same... You know the metal you get on the Mercedes, like, CLS and S-Class, where it's, like, a piece of aluminum with, like, mini holes drilled
mini,
in it?
Yeah, like, mini laser
it's
cut.
It's that exact... Deal.
Oh, that's cool.
It looks just like, and the switch gear is very European. Like, it's push button gear selector. Like,
that was the
LCD
only
gauges.
Thing on the trim I didn't like was the push button was just like flat black squares. I wish they had been like a little bit nicer, but the rest of it was pimped.
Dude, all that stuff, like, if you really sat down in like an A6 or a basic 5 series, like, not the super loaded up $100,000 ones we test, like a regular showroom Audi.
That's true.
You know what I mean? You'd find that I bet most of it is pretty
that's
much
true.
The
they
same.
Use a lot of flat black.
I think
plastic.
They use a lot of the same suppliers. Like, I saw some knobs that are like, I fucking swear this is out of an Audi. Like, they just called up the same supplier.
Dude, and Bosch, Siemens, Delco, they're all the same people. Yeah.
I like that knob, but we'll have that.
But I mean, it's obviously not aimed at our target audience, but it's if you look at it and you look at it and go, that is a nice looking car, I should go, and you went to a dealership, you'd probably sit in it and go, fuck me, this is really nice. And then you drive it and you go, Holy shit, it drives really nice, too.
Is this going to be something we're going to see, like the 300Ms, all everybody's customizing them? Or is it going to be
That's what I meant when I said Lincoln needs a Chrysler 300.
It's too expensive for something that same
dog is going to buy and put rims on.
I mean, the 300Ms, the 300M, when it was brand new, was like a $35,000, $40,000 car.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
I think, I don't know, it's a tough one. I don't think it looks gangster enough.
Not it even looks, like slammed on.
It's a nice one. I haven't seen one yet slammed on.
You could
like
do some
rims.
Like retro 21 inch something.
If
you know.
You did some like Detroit Steels, would look good on some Detroit Steels probably. Mm-hmm. Like you could, I'd like to see one done up. Like hopefully SEMA this year will deliver.
Anybody out there?
Some fucking mobbed out Continentals. Yeah. It was nice though. I liked it, and Hannah enjoyed driving it too.
Someone might make a Suicide Doors kit for that. That'd be cool.
I'm telling you, with Suicide Doors, it would be fucking
dope. You know what?
Dope.
It'll show up at SEMA, and then they'll go, "No, you can't drive this on the road."
It would be really dope. I didn't find. Usually, there's cars every car we test almost we find one thing where we're like, "What the fuck? Who did that?" Oh, I just thought of it. The high beams. The headlights and the high beams, not very good. You look at them and they're like they look like those like laser beams, like they're like very cool looking, but they're not that bright. They're just not that bright, which I thought was weird for some car that
you know what I think that's kind of a Ford thing in general.
Not that bright headlights.
Yeah, I think kind of shitty headlights is generally
really.
I don't know.
The Mustang.
Everybody's Raptors when they're behind me blending the shit out of
them. That's because of the height.
Yeah, I know. The Mustang's headlights are a disaster. My 88s. The Focuses are pretty
good.
They're
like borderline illegal.
They're fucked. They're just not that good, but you know how all Mustangs, even the brand new ones, the gauges are the gauge pods are designed so badly that all the gauges, the light from the gauges reflects off the windshield right in your eyes. My Mustang, have you ever tried driving my car at night?
No.
Oh my God, it's fucked. You see the full gauge cluster in the windshield right in front of your face. It's so miserable.
Well, that's Ford's version of a heads-up display.
Like heads-up, yeah. Heads-up, you're just going to need to reach it in reverse, you know? It's all good.
Inverse gauge.
Keep you on your toes, man.
For the cerebral driver.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Gotta do the math real quick in your head.
Yeah. What was that, 90 or was that 60?
Oh, my God. Ugh. Officer, I have no idea how fast I was going. You don't understand. My speedometer just doesn't work.
You were going 6.
7. 7 miles an hour.
65? 63. Isn't the speed limit 65? Yeah, it is.
You see some guy got fired for... I read that was some story on Reddit that a guy got fired for doing the meow game.
I didn't click it, really? So was the story.
He worked at a restaurant and he was doing the meow game.
Somebody should hire him just because he deserves...
You should.
Yeah.
What if someone did a meow game in your shop? Like someone's spending like $80,000 in their car and people are going meow.
Right meow? Right meow. I mean, come back here. Look at your car right meow. Right up on the lift.
Check out your exhaust, meow.
Yeah. Meow.
It's
you got to listen to me.
The car like hold up a 7, like not yet, we need 8.
How many border shit 22-year-old cops have tried that at this point, though?
Oh, probably so many.
I love Super Troopers. The first 20 minutes of Super Troopers.
You know they're making a sequel, right?
I read that.
They've been trying to.
I hope I don't have to be worried because I was crying the first time I watched it.
The first 20 minutes of Super Troopers is incredible.
Those guys make the same movie over and over. It'll be funny. It'll be the same thing.
Beer Fest was great,
you know that brown 911 in it?
Yeah,
I worked on that car at one point.
No
is
way.
Tell me that car is not an extremely rare optioned, like a weird factory ordered option car.
Because it had the different wheels on it and all that. We up in Washington, I worked for Ford Alls, and we saw that car like 3 or 4 times, and then all of a sudden it's on Super Troopers. There's a sticker on the back window on the quarter glass that I couldn't quite remember what it was. But I called all my buddies when we all worked together. They're like, dude, that's the car. That's the car.
I wonder who owns
it. Going way
and
too
even
fast.
Even if it's not, it's like a cool thing to think. But I think, I mean,
probably, how
like
many?
95% sure that we've
of
worked on that car.
Of course it is, dude. Yeah. When you get the vibe, you know.
Yeah.
It's always the same.
Try telling my wife. She's like, shut up. It's like, that's not the car.
How many modded brown Porsches were there up in like the Washington area? It's not a big
like
sports
3 or 4 of them. Yeah, my buddy actually. Okay, so my buddy bought one back that he had when we were younger, and I worked on it when I worked at Ford Alls, and then it got sold, and I was like, man, it was like the first exhaust system I've ever built, and I had 2 Flowmaster single chamber loudest pile of shit ever. He still has that exhaust on the car. I'm like, if you ever take it off, you got to send it to me. I was like,
turn it into a coffee table.
2000 maybe 2001. that I did that, and it is the loudest fucking exhaust, and it's so horrible.
Does it sound, it
MIG
sound
welded,
good?
Like, I mean, it's...
Does it sound cool, though?
It sounds cool, but I can't wait to see it and, like, look back at what I used to build.
It's funny, see how the bends are, how the welds are,
I bet
stuff.
It's just horrible.
Oh, yeah. Do you remember, you know my friend Larry, the detailer, Larry Casilla?
Yeah.
His Mustang in high school had these exhausts that were made by, like, another kid.
Oh, yeah?
Then it was all stock plumbing, just replacement mufflers with, like, this muffler that this dude just made in his garage. It was a kid.
Nice.
And was trying to, like, start an exhaust company, whatever, like, Raptor Racing Silencers it was called. And,
did he, like, make the entire muffler?
Made
like,
the entire muffler.
And make the baffle.
Yeah, he just,
stuff?
Like, bent a piece of thing into a piece of metal into, like, an oval.
That's hilarious.
You put one pipe in, a couple things, and a pipe out.
Did he know anything about, like, flow and baffling and whatnot?
Well,
or?
He must have, because I'll tell you something. This is the best-sounding Fox body you've ever heard in your life.
That's funny. That's
amazing.
That's awesome. I remember.
The most perfect tone.
Oh,
perfect.
Awesome.
And I never.
The guy nailed it.
He's muffled. He nailed
it.
And then he never made another.
Where are you now? I think it's. Where are you now,
Matt? I remember seeing that kid shit right about the same time. He was trying to sell them for the F bodies too.
Raptor Racing Silencers.
Yep.
Never once. I saw two mufflers. They were made by like a child.
Yeah.
And they were the only two I ever saw. And if hope maybe Larry will listen to this and call me and tell me, because I don't remember anything else about them. And they went with his car and they were gone. And I've never heard anything.
Well, if you're 18 and making mufflers, where do you go to advertise them? Fucking forums. That's why I saw him.
Forums. Jesus, was there even the internet?
I don't know.
I was 17. There wasn't even like really the internet.
There wasn't any of that.
Well,
yeah.
I wonder if he made them, but he didn't write down like the specs he made. Like... He like buttoned it up and sent it out to Larry, and then he's like, "Sounds good." He's like, "What did I do in there?"
You know, dude, you
didn't,
like, write down the baffles. They looked ghetto as hell. You looked in your hand. You're like, "What the fuck is this?" Piece
like
of
steel
shit?
Shoe boxes.
Yeah,
and
looks...
I remember the argument of like Aero Chambers versus Flowmaster, and just you could always tell, like, especially, you know, American muscle cars, like Aero Chambers had like a thinner sound to and then Flowmasters all sound the same. Magnaflow was like too expensive and
too expensive. Yeah, yeah.
That's what old guys
more than 49 bucks each.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
Dude, just get a cherry bomb, and when it blows out all the packaging, it sounds awesome.
Yeah, or they had the purple Hornies back then. It was like a purple version of the
cherry bomb.
I would
just get rid of the mufflers and just put resonators on.
Oh, cherry bombs are funny because they sold them, like, you walk into like a Kragen or whatever, and there was a box with them sticking
out.
Like a barrel. It's like loaves of bread.
Yeah, do you want a 12-inch long or 24? What do you want? Two-inch, two and a half, and three. Pick your, you know.
All the same.
Yeah, dude. Fuck, those were the good days, man. That shit was...
What's going to happen when our parents, people our parents' age, all fucking die?
I don't know.
What's going to happen to all the cars from, like, the 60s? Do any of us give a fuck to save all these
cars?
I think
there's enough hipsters in the world and, like... You know,
hipsters?
And, yeah.
You think a fucking 69 Chevelle is going to be cool to a hipster soon?
Fuck yeah, it is. Because you know why? Because it's going to be so uncool to everybody else. It's going to be cool.
At what point is that going to be cool?
I don't know.
At what point is someone in Brooklyn going to deal
with a Chevelle? Look around.
The price will fall a lot, though.
I mean, look at
what do you want me to
Okay, let me just touch
on. They're cheap enough that they're a novelty, guys like us will buy them, but that'll be the end of the road.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think it'll shake a lot.
I see people driving, like, early cars because... It's a little bit off the norm. It's a little different. It's like I'm a little bit of a rebel because I'm driving this early. Like,
Well, what point do you go from mullet-haired douchebag with a gold chain in your 69 Camaro to ironic, I'm a little off the beaten path guy? When is that period?
When's that transition? I don't know.
Right? Because right now, like, it's the period of cool, right?
Yeah.
You know, peak cool. And
are we peaked? Is it peak cool right now?
For what?
Like a 69 Camaro.
No.
Okay.
No, it's
I think
on
we already peaked
down,
was 10 years
on
ago.
It's on its way down. Yeah. 2006, 7.
The resto mod, cool. the Corvette underpinnings.
Right
and
now, the best value in cars is to buy a secondhand, like, six-figure pro touring build at fucking Meekum.
Right.
I guess, for $30,000. That's the best value in cars at this particular juncture.
Is that what's happening?
Yeah. They're way cheaper.
A guy who works at BMW has
a
badass
sick LSX swap Chevelle with like full
ABS and AC
full
and
Detroit speed suspension and standalone and a T56 and fucking all the goodies. $30,000.
Wow.
you know, with HREs on it.
Wow.
But I think all the people that bought those because those were their dream cars when they were young.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is transitioning to the dream cars of the 80s, which is, like, old 911s and other old Japanese
E30s
shit. E30s were crazy.
Ugh,
it's also going to transfer.
What a fucking
so the market's going to shrink that wants old muscle cars.
Well, should we spend
minutes
on cars aren't worth $100,000?
Right. Yeah.
No, it's E30 is right at the top of the list of cars that are not worth $100,000.
Yeah, they're not. Definitely not.
E36 lightweight.
But you know what?
Every time I think of a car with quote-unquote character like that, I always think LS swap.
An E30? Like,
yeah, it's like an E30 or a 944 or a...
You know what the move is for E30? Is the S54 swap. The E46 M3 yeah. engine. I had a go in one of those.
3.2 liter.
Yeah. 330 horsepower yeah. in a car that's like 2,400 pounds. It's
badass.
It's a monster.
Did really? They do
it's
anything with the monster. Rear suspension? Or was
balanced,
it just,
good.
Dude, it's like it. 75. It's still a IRS. Stock motor. The one I drove was like a $12,000 build plus an E30.
Yeah.
It had sport mode. It was like drive-by
wire. Oh, really?
Wire.
They put
six,
all that?
Yeah, six-speed. The whole shit. Full wow. drive-line swap.
See, that's fun. I like
yeah, it. But what I'm getting to is, did they do anything with the rear suspension on that, or was it still just the trailing arm setup?
I don't know. It's been a while.
You can make the trailing arm setup handle really well. You just have yeah, to like yeah. you have to get the zeroed out camber plates, which you have to weld in, and then you know you can't do as much as like a coilover.
It's just racing. Difficult because it's so
yeah, they really hammer and SCCA, ITE, and
AER. I mean, ITS E30s that are fuck all quick. Oh, do you got to come. We got to do some AER, dude.
I'm in.
Unfortunately, it's East Coast only right now, but I'm really trying to get them to start races out here. And if they do, I'm going to help them promote it. AER is the best cheap racing that there is right
well,
now.
Why would you do it on the West Coast? Chump, everybody's broken. The weather
really.
Sucks.
Yeah, yeah. It's great. Because there's fucking fast cars. Like, no joke fast cars. Like, there are, like, World Challenge cars. Like, off-season World Challenge yeah. cars that race in this series. And mob.
Just
and,
hammer.
Yeah, I mean, our car is not slow, and we're in the slowest fucking class.
What car is it?
We're driving an MX-5
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah. You were talking to me about Road Atlanta.
About Road Atlanta.
Yeah.
Such a great
track.
Were
you able to, able to take the last corner flat down the hill?
Down the hill.
Right-hander.
At the bottom of the
yeah,
hill.
Yeah, yeah. I always wondered in a Miata if you could do that.
No, I think...
I remember the first time I ever saw a 911 go around that flat, 997 RSR, that they changed the rear suspension geometry. And I remember the first time... I worked for Porsche. I remember the first time they were coming down the hill and then just stayed in it. And the car just around the corner on the street. I was like, they just didn't lift. Yeah. They had it flat all the way down the hill, all the way around the right-hander.
I will say that I could not do it. I couldn't do it. However...
Need arrow,
Sam
maybe?
Smith...
Yeah.
Not need arrow, need balls.
Balls.
Sam Smith, who you know from Road and Track,
yeah.
who was the fastest guy on our team and who is one of my favorite people on the planet.
Nice.
Can do it flat and did do it flat and was faster than me by about a second and a half a lap.
Wow.
Maybe 2 seconds a lap. He was fucking fast.
Just flying.
He was really fast. And I think he did it flat. Mm. But I'd never been on that course before. My stint was the first time, and so it
was
an
unbelievable
place.
I'm like, wait,
place.
What car are you driving? You're like MX-5. I'm like, keep it flat everywhere.
It's yeah,
like,
no. It's most of the track. I was not a concern. It was fine. And what a great place to drive a car. I mean, unbelievable racetrack. Like a definitely bucket list track.
Total bucket list.
But track. Under the bridge, I went to CXC. I did an hour in the sim.
Yeah.
And I stupidly, very very stupidly. Left driving line on for the whole time.
Oh.
And so under that bridge without a fucking line, I had like no point of reference. I didn't think of like, oh, where should I be looking here? And I was like, oh.
No heads up line in your Miata.
Nothing. Yeah. And so I shat my pants for 8 laps. And then I ran into this dude. Remember Donnie from Spartanburg, the BMW guy? Who was drifting. He's an instructor. He was there racing,
he's
too.
Great.
He's like, oh, man, you want to look at this? He's like, he's a real, real Southern good old boy.
Yeah.
Oh, man, you want to keep up left under the red flag, down right under the yellow line. And I'm like, oh, cool. And the next time out, I was
hammered
it. I was like, yes, thank God, that. Donnie. It was so clutch. I was shitting my pants, man. Crazy track.
Yeah, no, that's like stuff like that when somebody just kind of points something out to you.
Oh,
I never wanted to admit.
Changes your life.
Yeah, I never wanted to admit at Laguna Seca going turn one. Well, they call it turn one, that little kink under the bridge.
Yeah.
Dude, okay, in a 700 horsepower 911.
Holy. That's not flat in a really fast car.
But it is. You can go flat, except when you're dumb like me and you see everybody going flat and you don't know the line, you're like, fuck it, I'll go flat over it. Coming over the hill in fifth gear with like all four tires, I'm like, oh, I'm into a brake zone sideways every single time until somebody's like, what the fuck are you doing? He's like, you're crazy. He's like, just go right a little bit and then straight line it. I'm like, fuck, it was like a walk in the park on the way.
You were taking like an actual corner.
Yeah, he's like, no, hug the right and just straight line it over. Don't even turn your wheel. And then, you turn in a little bit and you go straight. I was like, oh my God, this is so easy now. It's like, thank you so much.
It's just a little like a visual thing or a tip of like, look for the this or put the this here.
And then
like,
you're like, oh, it just clicks. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, this is not a white knuckle corner anymore. It's actually a straightaway still.
Yeah.
Well, so far, both my AER races have been at Road Atlanta and Mid-Ohio, both of which are very scary places. If you don't know the tiny little nuances of those very old-school tracks, the really old-school tracks, it's like, if you fuck up there, like, you can have a real... Dude, I saw a guy in my race. I mean, for the most part, I saw pretty decent driving, actually. There was not a lot of red flags, literally and figuratively. But the one literal red flag that there was happened right in front of me. Oh, a guy in an E46 passed me, and it's one thing to, like, be fast. Like, you know, we were in a slower – there's five classes. We were in the slowest class. So I'm in my rear view the whole time.
Yeah.
It's one thing to be passed by someone who's fast. I got passed by a guy who was not in a fast car, but who thought he was Senna. And he drove beyond the limits of grip the entire time he was in my view. And he was not Senna. And I even said over the radio, he passed me and I went, oh, this guy's going to have one.
Oh, no.
And not even a lap later, this dude had tried to pass on the outside of four, which is the downhill right-hander.
Off camber. Yeah.
And he took out another car with him, and they ping-ponged off both sides, and it was red flagged for 20 minutes.
Damn.
Crazy.
Nobody hurt? Everything good?
Nobody seriously hurt. No, nobody seriously hurt. They definitely, there were ambulances involved, but nobody seriously hurt. But that incident aside, actually, it was great racing. Fundraising. Well, yeah.
That's awesome. If they do come out here, I mean, whatever.
See, we can. How do we get a car? Like, what do we do?
You want to do Miata?
My buddy
keeps telling me I'm an idiot for working on Porsches. You got to work on Miatas. Oh, we have so much fun in these things. I get it. And then I got a couple other customers who are thinking about doing Miatas, and they're like, I don't know. You know, it's like, GT3 is fun to drive on track, but I watch these guys in Miatas.
Yeah.
And I just remember 10 years ago when I did Thunder Hill, the 25-hour.
Yeah.
I remember I was in a cup car and going down the front straight, and then there's like a bunch of Miatas, and you think you're going to go left and get them in the brake zone, except, you know, if there are five of them, they go five wide into every corner. Yeah. They just fan out like crazy. Like, oh, shit, never mind. I'm going to catch you on the straightaway. I'm not even going to try.
FRSs are probably hitting real cheap now.
Yeah.
Are they reliable? Can you just hammer on those engines? Like,
I don't know.
You need something that you can ride hard and put away wet.
Miata.
Change the oil.
I will
put
say
tires
the
on
Miata
it.
Has been pretty – it's been pretty resilient so far.
Yeah.
And I would say if you're going to get one, like – the difference between a great Miata and a shit Miata is like $6,000.
And it's somebody the real difference is somebody who cares. It's somebody who puts a little bit of effort into it and cares.
And the setup.
Yeah.
Well, you guys had a good time with the Civic that you bought a seat in too, right?
Oh, dude, you know, they're not fast, but single cam Civics make great endurance racers.
Do they?
Yeah. There's a guy out at Road Atlanta with a dope little hatch.
Yeah.
One of them 90s. Is that an EG hatch or an EK hatch? I don't fucking remember.
Like a mid-90s?
Mid-90s hatch.
Did you ever see that?
With Aero.
That video of one of those things at Bathurst, like, just like hammering everybody. I was like, that's the shit right there.
They're really fun. Yeah.
Well, and the nice thing is that with that car, you can pack everything you need to support it in the car.
Yeah, in the back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I used to do that in my 944. All the wheels, the tires, my fuel jugs.
That's the best way to do the track, is not having a trailer or anything.
Yeah.
One of Musto's buddies used to track a wide-body GTR, 700 horsepower, like, you know, big dollar kind of thing. Showed up one day with a $7,000 spec Miata street legal that some kid had built, like, really well, paid all the attention to. This is NorCal.
Oh.
And then the kid had to sell it, and this guy scooped it, and he's like, he's having just as much fun driving it, and he's learning corner, because he jumped up in cars too quickly, so he had to reset.
Most people.
Matter of fact, the GTR that I was on that tuner shootout, he also owns a Miata. He's the guy trying to convince me to get a Miata.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's like, I've raced it
all. The guy with the 600 horsepower GTR.
Yeah, he's like, I race it all. He goes, I have more fun in that Miata than anything.
Ours is actually an MX-5 Cup.
Okay.
So it was a race car from the factory.
It's like a cup car. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Basically. But it's like 2,300 pounds, you know, with a cage. It's 170 horsepower or something. Mm-hmm. But it's fun as shit. It's super easy to drive. I mean, you can find the limit of this car in one lap. And it's great.
That's awesome.
And a
the
set
consumables
of tires
are cheap
last
too.
All weekend. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. All the parts are cheap. It uses stock brakes, stock NC rotors.
They don't break. The engines go forever.
The engines are good. Like we have broken things, but the things that we've broken so far were like motorsport
Like we blew a shock, but it was like a Penske shock. It wasn't like a it wasn't the motor.
Yeah.
And also this car sat for a couple years, so I think some seals are a little dry.
You guys had to knock some dust off of it.
Yeah. It's a pretty good car, and they got it. I mean, it was cheap.
Well, I'm convinced. So let's just go do something and have fun
racing. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
We should take a break, I think.
Yeah.
And we'll come back, and we got a bunch of questions, and we'll talk more about specialty things. All right.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're back.
Cool. Let's talk about Harry's Razors. What do you love the most about shaving?
Tell me
about shaving, Donnie. I love my Harry's Razors. I do, actually. I finally took the leap. I used to go in the shower. The shaving was a process, right? Buzz the head, go in the shower, wash the face and head, go back out, shaving cream, straight razor, then back in the shower, shaving cream off, then back out. That's like some shit. Now I took the leap and I went head shave in the shower with no mirror at all. Head shave in the shower.
You gotta get the bathroom mirror though for doing the face.
You know, I can't believe I haven't jumped on the bathroom mirror bandwagon.
$20 on Amazon.
I know, it's not the money.
I love it. Mine comes from a company literally called Toilet Tree.
That's awesome.
Wait, seems like brilliant.
Yeah. We can't do an ad for a creatively named company in the middle of an ad for another company.
That's true. Well, at least it's
just kidding, by the way.
The point is, I've been rocking my hairy shit. That's the point. You know why? Because it's actually high quality. It's not because it's half the price of what you buy in the drugstore. It's not because they bought their own factory and make the stuff themselves. They don't just private label it from some place in China. It's not because it's $2 a blade instead of $4 a blade. It's because it's actually good. That's why I use it, because it's good. Go to free what do we got, a free trial? We do. Oh, they're so confident with their blades, they want you to try their most popular trial set for free. Free 99 comes with a razor handle of your choice. I recommend the rubber grip one. 5-blade cartridge and a shaving gel. It'll be delightful. It's free when you sign up. Just pay a small fee for shipping. Harrys.com/tire. Harrys.com/tire. Get free things, people.
I'm in. I'm a hairy dude, so I need that shit.
You need it, bro.
Mm-hmm.
I took a picture of my sponsored Bob's Watches Rolex. And
I've been fucking obsessing over those things. Dude.
I hooked the watch sponsor, Bob's Watches, Rolex, but all people are saying is my hand is hairy, and I go, well, shit, now I can't have
that's because I'm a dude.
That's your hand.
All these other fools rocking dope watches. Guess what? Their name is like Anish, and they have hairy fucking hands too.
Everybody's got hairy hands.
BobsWatches.com is the largest vintage Rolex marketplace, or at least I think it is. I like them because they publish their prices. They're sick. They're transparent. They show you what they're buying at and what they're selling at. It's a marketplace. It's got transparency.
That is so badass.
And they offer a year warranty on all their watches, even vintage Rolexes.
That we're looking at?
That's a 68.
Damn it.
That's a Redline Submariner with a ghosted bezel. And fully creamy dots, and it is dope as fuck. Yeah. That watch is 20 G's.
Yeah, this is ridiculous.
This is a little better than the other watch sponsor that hit us up.
Right? They used to send me some garbage watches. Yeah. No, we are rocking vintage Rolexes now.
That's
Bob's Watches. I'm going to put, don't go there, just go there. When I have a video out next week, where it's going to have a link in it with an affiliate. And we're going to give you.
Really?
If you use that link. Yeah, they're around the corner from you.
Don't tell me that.
Literally. Yeah. You could walk there.
Does he like cars?
Yes.
All right. He's in trouble.
And he likes people with Instagram followings, so you are golden.
I have those too?
Yeah. So we'll hook you up. Bob's Watches, when you get the affiliate link, I will hook you up. We're going to give you $150 if you buy a watch from Bob's, which is really nice. But wait till the video comes out with the affiliate link. That wasn't even an ad I was supposed to do. We just busted into it because I'm wearing the ghosted shit.
And it's badass.
It is amazing, isn't it? That's a winner. Yeah. It makes me very nervous to wear it, honestly. It's way too dope for the kind of things that I do with my life.
Yeah.
All right. How about ZipRecruiter.com? Are you hiring? You know where to post your job to find the best candidates. Posting your job in one place is not enough to find quality candidates. You want to find the perfect hire? You got to post your job on all the top job sites, and now you can. With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 200-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. Find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. Just post once, and watch your qualified candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by Fortune 100 companies and thousands of small and medium-sized businesses. And right now, listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. Free. Again, these guys are just giving away free stuff by going to ZipRecruiter.com/first. ZipRecruiter.com/first. One more time. Try it for free. ZipRecruiter.com/first. Lastly, Forza Motorsport finally sent us the full-on Fanatic setup. What is the actual model of that device? Do you guys know?
Whatever it is.
Badass. I was just V2.
Club Sport V2. Yeah. Expensive ass. Dope. It's the equivalent of this Rolex watch of simulator wheels.
It is bananas.
Dude.
It is, I was just geeking out over there for like 5 minutes.
I've had one for a little bit. The CNC pedals are fucking sick.
Did you look at the pedals?
They're hydraulic.
The brake pedal's hydraulic. And the steering wheel is belt driven, right?
Yes, mm-hmm.
Yes, it
so
is.
So and the wheel is detachable, and it looks like you could take it off and put it on a race car, like just as is.
The bolt pattern's actually correct. You could.
Could you actually just take that off and put it on a race car?
I mean, you could easily wire that up. That thing's badass.
Sick. Sick. You know, Horizon 3 is out right now. We got 350 plus cars. The Smoke Attire car pack is in the game. It's drive anywhere, do anything. All the things are awesome. It's at xbox.com/Forza or ForzaMotorsport.net. And, of course, we are TST Racing. Watch out for my Drivatar and race against us if you see
us online. I believe
the
Fanatec setup works on the Windows version of Forza 2.
Does it
but
really?
But, like, with... They've got like additional resolution on all the pedals, so it's like even more crazy and accurate. You can do handbrakes and
do they offer a handbrake? They must offer
they
a
do.
Proper handbrake, mm-hmm. Right?
You can get yeah. a shifter, which is really
I've got
nice.
An H pattern at the house. So.
The H pattern is
H
nice.
H pattern shifter I saw is
it feels crispy.
Yeah, that stuff's bananas. You know, the coolest part is it says on the back of it as. It makes it so I don't put that in a car because I was like, damn, this would be perfect in a car. I'm going to do that.
Cars.
It says do not use this in a car.
Yeah.
that's just a liability thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Someone actually, disclaimer. Speaking of gated, of shifter H patterns, someone made on the internet a gated shifter metal boot for the Focus RS.
Ooh.
It turns it into a snick.
I love clever shifter. Shit like that.
It's pretty cool, but is that cheesy?
I don't
to
know.
To put that in a hatchback?
No. You ever listen to that Jamiroquai song when the Lamborghini's going through the gear set? Yeah. I was like, I want to put a gated shifter in everything. Just like,
well, they are. They're the best, right?
Yeah.
You've driven at least a few cars with gated shifters,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
They're magnificent.
Yeah. Like, I love that. That's your stop. You know, it's like click,
it's
click.
So, nice.
So in the 911s, Wevo makes a shifter that has positive stops on it for the early like G-body cars and the early mm-hmm. stuff. That, to me, I love. I love the fact
that... Is
that
what Joey had in his
yeah,
in
he
his
had
car?
That, exactly. That same shifter that you could set the detents. They have little springs on them. They have also like a reverse detent, so you feel like real positive and, you know... Like,
Zach and I bumped into him on the last day of SEMA. He is such a fucking psychopath.
Oh, his car is insane.
Joey?
It's like,
yeah, Joey's mad scientist.
It weighs like zero now. It's
so
like under 2,000
Do we talk
pounds.
About, is there no drama anymore,
no,
right?
No, but yeah.
Joey and Batim used to be a thing.
We used to be a thing.
Now you're not a thing anymore.
No.
He's doing his thing.
Yeah, he's got a cool shop in Costa Mesa.
Emotion Engineering, plug it.
Plug it, yeah.
Yeah.
He's you know, suspension wizard, and I mean, dude, his fucking car is badass.
Well, he just wanted to focus on the minutiae of suspension fine tuning,
right.
Pretty much, right?
Yeah,
he wanted
yeah.
to do his thing all the time,
right? Yeah, and that's, I mean, I think he's loving life right now, and he's doing it. He's
and I think
fun.
Weren't you more interested in creating like a parts selling business, and he just really wanted to set up kind of one car at a time and do it his way and take his time, something to that effect?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean. I want to scale BBI. I want to make it easy for customers to come and do things. And
you want to go from production line to products, right?
Right. And I like horsepower. I like suspension. I like it all. I like the entirety of the vehicle. Joey's very focused on the suspension side. So that's, you know, we got to a point where he's like, well, I don't know. I mean, do we go here? Do we go here? And we both came up with the idea to, you know, part paths. I went one direction. He went the other. Not that each one of them are right or wrong, but it's. I mean, it's been good for both of us.
Whatever.
Really,
if you're happy, happy and you're making a living, fucking whatever, dude.
Yeah.
Do your thing.
Exactly.
What's bringing in the dollars right now? Is it power kits or is it suspension stuff or what?
Yeah, we're doing so we developed the Street Cup line for the 991 cars, all the suspension, the back half roll bars, you know, like safety package, seat belts, lower sub mounts.
Are most of the cars you're doing on that kind of stuff on, are most of those S's that are coming in, or
as GT3s. Far as GT3s?
Yeah, they're GT3s.
You go to your lot, they're all GT3s. The whole lot is fucking GT3s.
GT3s and yeah. turbos, yeah.
Yeah, but now GT4s. They're
yeah, the GT, you know what? The GT4 has been good for us, too. And that's a fun car to take. No offense to anybody who owns one, but the car's numb from the factory. And it's just, I think it needs, and I'm not saying from a harshness standpoint like we spoke about earlier. It's just, it doesn't, they move things around. They it's just not.
Is it anyway, so neutral it's kind of boring?
DSC's got a kit for that car.
I wouldn't say neutral.
Yeah.
Like, a neutral car is fun because you can use corners for, like, braking. You know, it's like mm-hmm. without braking. So you wait to do things. You wait to get on the power. You turn in and you wait for the thing to hook and set. You know, so we just tweak it a little bit. They left us a very, very good canvas. But you just tweak it a little bit. And also, you got a car under you that's a lot of fun to drive.
So Sharky had a nice touch on his.
Dude, Sharky does some fun stuff with those cars. Yeah.
I like seeing the collabs. I like seeing you and HG like collabing on a car. I like seeing the Shark Works.
To me, that's the most fun because everybody has their strong suits, right? And and you know, whether it's marketing, whether it's engineering, whether it's manufacturing, whether it's horsepower, whatever it is, I love linking up with like-minded people. Sharky, they're badass.
What do you think of the Magnus Walker wheels on the GT4? Not feeling it?
Not feeling it.
The first two pictures I saw, I was like, "Ooh, no."
Don't get me wrong.
The most recent picture I saw, I'm starting to come around a little bit. It's got like a little 914-y vibe to it now that I'm sort of feeling.
Maybe I'll take that approach when I look
maybe
at it.
Maybe you just have to put a Landau roof on it.
we'll just vinyl the shit out of it and call it. That would be funny.
Dude, if I had a
GT4, I'd fucking do it right away.
Landau
roof
on it.
Yeah.
Get a vinyl print that
I love, like you were saying, I love teaming up with but you know, the collaborative builds, you know.
When you guys did the tune shootout and you were helping what's his name?
Dieter,
like, you know, fit the wheels, he's having problems with that, and you guys are just like stoked to see each other and then working together, and this was before any laps have been ran, like, you know, you're competing.
Literally,
but you're not
it's
competing,
what it's about, right?
Yeah.
Dieter's such a fucking clutch player,
dude,
by the
he's
way.
A badass.
Love to fucking Dieter, because I'm going down there on Friday. I got a big day on Friday.
Oh,
we're
yeah?
doing the two cars. You talked about the GT3, the turbo. Tell us about the turbo, because we didn't even get there.
Are you guys
there.
Doing the convertible turbo?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That car is...
I was so intrigued by this.
I wish you were doing it like a month or two from now.
Oh, fucking come on.
No, you're what? Fine. You're going
to
have...
You mean, I'm driving all the way to San Diego.
You're
going to
have a blast.
But
Joe, the owner of the turbo, and HG...
What's he doing in a month?
You're going to find out, because you're going to drive it again. We'll just make sure that you do that again.
Is it going to be that big of a difference?
Yeah, 100. Oh my god.
God damn it. Should I just skip it?
No, don't. Are you fucking crazy? Don't skip it.
I'll do it in a month.
No, no, no.
Leave it at home.
You know what? I would love your feedback.
All right, fine. Of course.
Yeah. I would love that feedback. No, yeah, HG, they do some fun stuff down there in San Diego. And like I said,
what's in the car? We haven't even gotten there.
It's got all of our Street Cup suspension on it. All of our control arms, all the good stuff. HD built a back half roll bar for it. It's got our exhaust, our intercoolers, ECU tune, upgraded turbos, Y-pipe plenum from IPD. I mean, the engine literally is a very mildly tuned engine, so it's just warmed up a little bit, right? So then the suspension, it's got the Olin-roaded tracks. The cool part is it's got the cup car front end, so...
It has the widened front.
The
on
white front
it, on a
with,
convertible
with the car.
Sick.
Yeah,
it's
but
probably gonna look awesome.
Yeah, but more than this, with the Carbon Revolution wheels. So it's carbon fiber wheels,
oh, really?
Center lock.
Oh, kick ass!
The car is just like yeah, people look at
those
it. They,
wheels
they,
make a big difference, they, dude. You ever try them back to back?
It's massive.
Track?
And like massive. People ask me, are you really serious? I'm like, okay, so you're knocking 40 pounds of unsprung weight.
100%.
You know what people also don't understand? The rigidity. These wheels, they
dude,
maintain the camber curve. I mean, it's just
like...
The
turn-in was completely transformed. They were nice enough to invite me to Willow, and they gave me a 997 GT3,
yep.
And I ran stock wheels, 5 laps, and then these wheels, 5 laps.
And you're a good person for that, because you'd be a cynic. You'll say, fuck, that's bullshit.
It was completely
different. Right.
It changed the whole car.
I mean, think
it
about...
It stopped better.
Yep.
It felt lighter on its feet. It turned in harder. The turn-in was sharper.
to me, hands down, I don't even look at that the carbon wheel as like a wheel. I look at it as a performance mod. You know, it's like,
so cool.
How are you going to knock 40 to 60 pounds of unsprung mass off of your car?
Well, I think the old adage is that 1 pound of unsprung mass is about...
No, they're close. They're 15.
I mean, the old thing was, it's like basically 1 pound of unsprung is equivalent to dropping 10 pounds off the chassis.
Yeah, so you're dropping 10 pounds a corner minimum. Yeah. Like, especially on a GT3 from a .1 generation where they had the 997, like, 07, 08, you know.
That was what I drove it on. It was a heavy-ass pound.
It was a 30-pound rear wheel, 28-pound rear wheel. And then you put it on a 17-pound wheel that's more rigid than the stock cast wheel.
Yeah.
I mean, it's... To me, I love that stuff. You know?
I don't think people think about wheel flex much either. Like,
wheel
I think I'd learn it from one of you guys.
It's massive.
And then you have Alan at HRE. That's literally all he thinks about.
No, honestly, that's all the same gig. Yeah. It's like I obsess over wheel flex. Like, you know,
how much better is like an HRE? I'm not necessarily trying to plug a. It's just the best wheel I can think of right now. And like an HRE, like a 3-piece forged wheel versus a high performance manufacturer's stock wheel, like a stock 488 wheel or a stock McLaren wheel.
It's a lot better because, as you guys just touched on, Alan and the engineers over there obsess over barrel flex, you know, and I looked at barrel flex when I used to work for Porsche. Osco stuck a little baby camera under on the rear control arm of a, I'm not going to say the wheel brand, but it came factory on the car. And it was that Sebring. You know, turn 17 coming on. You're
not going to say the wheel brand, but it came. So it was a well-known manufacturer of wheels.
OE wheel for a
wheel.
Factory race.
So like somebody like a Speedline or somebody like that.
Along those lines. Yeah. Okay. And anyway, so he's in the corner, and you could see. And not that these wheels fail. Maybe the car was designed around that, but I never saw a wheel go oval and back to round, oval back to round, oval back the entire time.
Like watching a golf ball compress?
Like watching a golf ball at 140 miles an hour and like 30,000 frames.
Really? That's how it is for like all wheels?
Yep.
Really?
Yep. So the wheel companies, when they obsess over, you know, that carbon wheel from Carbon Revolution could be so much lighter. And they're like, I don't want to give up rigidity. You know, so the factory, based on their camber curves and the way they designed the rear suspension of a 911 that takes fucking tremendous loads, they design the wheel around how much they want it to move and how much corrected camber curve they want it to achieve. You know, so if you think about how much camber do you have in a car, and then you're leaning on the wheel flexes, mm-hmm. that deflection of
camber. Right, so if you're running like negative 2 degrees, but the wheel flexes
and
back to zero.
You lay the fucker out, mm-hmm. and then the outside of your tire is scrubbed. You know,
well, then it's kind of a rubber band effect, positive. Too.
Yeah, but you feel that stuff when, you know, you turn in, you're talking about.
Yeah.
Obviously, the gyroscopic effect comes in play, but you look at it further, you're like, okay, the fucking thing, when I take a set, the suspension takes a set, then the bushings. This is the way I look at it. You know, I like try to visualize how a car works, especially a 911 with a lot of rubber in the back of the car stock. You turn in, the tire grips, you move a little bit, tire grips, then it takes a set. And then as you start loading the body, you start to roll, sway bars come in, and all of a sudden the tire starts to grip. And as the tire's starting to fold under the wheel, then it starts flexing the wheel. As the wheel reaches its maximum deflection point, then it starts bending all the, you know, deflecting all the rubber inside the suspension. There's like 17 pieces of rubber in each corner on the back of a 911. It starts moving all that shit. And then all of a sudden you're like, well, I set my toe at 2 millimeters of toe in under, you know, static toe in on the rack. What the fuck's it doing now? You know, with the wheel flexing and the rubber moving everywhere. So those are the things that we try to address with a rigid barrel, getting rid of the rubber and the rear suspension to plant everything. And that's why people are like, holy shit, the cars you guys do are so easy to drive.
Well, because so
it's just you eliminate a lot of the movement on the transition period.
Are
so
you guys
it invokes confidence.
Doing spherical bearings, or are you doing pre-impregnated?
No, you have to do spherical because nothing moves on a linear curve. So everything moves on an its own axis, especially a 5-link rear suspension control arm.
Yeah,
or I mean,
it's a lot of complexity.
Yeah,
there.
there's a lot of twisting. Like the upright, as it moves up through the travel, it's actually twisting also. So, and the cool part is with all of our components. Jeremy, he maps all that out. I mean, you get a graph of what your suspension does under 1.5 inches of travel and 1.5 inches of
droop.
Have
you tested like Delrin versus spherical? Just like,
then again, you don't get some of the movement out of Delrin. Mm-hmm. You can get binding problems,
even with like the graphite impregnated stuff. Or
are you talking about like on the spherical?
No. Specifically on like,
no, because nothing moves on that plane. Nothing moves. Everything moves on a plane where it's.
Okay.
Yeah, on the back of one of the 911s. So.
Okay. I see. I'm thinking it like
for example, like an Audi R8 or a Ferrari, where they have the pivot point of the inner control arm, the unequal length for upper and lower, the pivot point of the upper control arm, when those are on the same axis in the same plane, and you can take it and just move it up and down, and it doesn't twist, then the Dalaran and the all that stuff will work.
Yeah, see, I'm used to working on a double wishbone and not a five-link, yeah. Which is, of course...
A five-link is an unhinged double wishbone that each control arm moves on a different axis. So if you plotted it out on a graph, you'd see everything moving on different planes, so nothing's planar, right?
You just get a billion directions you're moving at once. Okay.
And they all have to... The net result is a twisted upright as it travels. So instead of a bind, it twists the upright, and you try to minimize that as much as possible.
That is a
I don't
lot
know where, how we got
it. How did we get into that?
Wheels. Back it up. Flex.
Oh, wheels. Okay, so wait. Yeah. Let me back it up. Let's go back to that. Yeah. Thank you for remembering. If, you know, look, I love Alan and Patrick, and I think there's some, not just HRE, I think there's some other excellent wheel manufacturers out there, BBS and whatnot.
Forgeline.
They're proper motorsport grade shit.
Yeah.
And I make fun of a lot of, I casually make fun of exotic car owners, especially in the Southern California area, for putting rims on their exotics.
Yeah.
Is there actually an actual performance argument for putting rims on your exotics?
It depends on what you're after. You honestly have to ask the client, what are you after? And you have to say, all right.
So
look,
none of these people are after. Yeah, like,
look, your boys aren't around here. Yeah. None of your friends are around here. Nobody's listening. What the fuck are you really after?
Yeah.
And a lot of times they're like, dude, I just want it to look better. All right, fair enough.
Yeah. Or look different. Stand out, you know.
But, you know, I refuse, you know. Like I.
Well, I see. And now I see you're working on a lot of RWB cars now. For a while, and no, RWB is a body shop. They are a body shop. That's what they do. Yeah. My car. I'm not trying to hate on RWB. I think that guy is a fucking genius.
Yeah.
But you know, we've had discussions about those cars are being set up for style and not being set up for actual performance.
Right.
And your shop focuses on performance over style usually. But now I start to see a lot of these cars coming to you where people go to you to get the car set up to drive properly.
Yeah, we're seeing a lot more of them, and I love the merit. You know, I love the idea behind it. And
this guy's gonna drop dead, you know, in like a year.
Yeah, and it's gonna be like
every one of these cars is built by one fucking dude. Like he, and they're how gonna, long can once you keep he, this?
Once he drops dead, those fucking cars are gonna be worth so much money, and it's gonna be
come on.
It is. It's a cool following. Look at right now. Look at how much they are right now.
Do you think even he's built? How much are they? I thought it was like 25 G's for one of those.
No, to buy a car, a finished car. I don't know. I've seen them.
Oh, is it a profitable enterprise to have one built? Fuck off. You cannot get a 911, do that shit, and then tally up your expenses
and
then make a
profit. How much did you say the body kit was?
I think it's 25.
How much is the 964 right now? Oh, a shit box.
A shitbox 964?
70 grand?
40 grand.
Okay, so...
It's a shit box.
Shit box.
Automatic.
Oh, no, right. you can get a 6-speed for 40 grand. All right, so 25, 40, you're at 65, right? How much is a set of Recaros? A couple grand.
Oh, is it literally, it's the price
of the
parts?
I'm going to tell you real quick, you're going to answer your own question.
Don't tell me these fucking things are flipping for 200.
No,
if you
not,
tell me these
not
things
there.
Are flipping for
they're,
200,
they're, gonna... I haven't seen one for less than 100.
Okay. So people want their time and money back.
Yeah, it's fair enough, right?
That's asking or that's selling. What are they selling?
They're asking for X and they're selling for X. But what I'm saying is, you know, so I have one in my shop right now. That's
the one you have, the 993.
Yeah.
That you have in your shop.
Did you see how clean that fucking
lovely.
Thing is?
Lovely. That car,
I mean, you could lick, the center console. It is so beautifully
my
done.
My feelings on those cars vary from car to car. You know, the styling is, how can Zach find a picture of that car?
It's on Instagram.
Is fucking beautiful.
I hate to say it, but you know me. I want to go to the track.
That's your strain.
Yeah, I want to go to the track. That's my gig. But there's a place and something for everybody. And so that's why I always say, you got to ask the client, what are they after? And tell the client, be honest with me.
Yeah, and what's he after?
Well, I mean, that car's got an individual throttled, big-ass, nasty engine. You know, it's got an AEM standalone ECU in it.
So is it a track car or it's a make-fucking-noise cruising-up-the-block car?
it's a corner balance and a set of tires away from it. Well, it's got triple eights on it. Yeah, you could do a nice corner balance alignment and go hammer on track.
Can you set up the suspension properly on one of those?
Yeah,
you can.
You can.
Even with is it running so Scotto with 375 rears?
Scotto's got his car at our shop. You know, it's got two 315s and 275s on it.
Is that too much tire for that car, though?
No. I can't stand that. Too much tire. You can always outdrive tire. You know, it's like, unless you're not getting heat into it, but then you can soften your suspension to lean on the carcass a little bit more. But Scotto's car, we raised it an inch. He's like, I just want to go out and beat on my car. And it still looks slammed. You know, but dude, the car drives so good now.
Does his car drive?
It's like, yeah, you
I really want to drive.
You get in it, and I'm like, okay, that's the Scotto's way. Car. That's why the 964.
Scotto
owes me one.
Did his? He's got a thing coming out. I did a thing with his thing.
Yeah,
I don't want to blow up his spot. But
I like what
their
things are doing. They have fun things over
They're
there.
They're doing a thing, and I did a thing with him. But I think I should get to drive the car. Mm-hmm. I want to drive that 964. At least his is a fucking turbo.
Yeah,
some of them and we warmed are 18 feet wide and make 220 horsepower.
The thing
horsepower.
Is, that car will hurt you. I mean, the car will hurt you. You can carry as much speed as you want into a corner. You know, like if you're not respecting that car, it will get you.
I can't. God damn it. You're fucking right. It bothers the shit out of me that you are right, that the second that guy drops dead, all them cars are triple.
I'm dead serious.
God damn it. That pisses me fucking off.
It's like
off.
A fucking artist, that, right?
I know, but it is. Yeah, it
but and he is an artist. Out. Honestly, think about it. He goes out there. He doesn't give a fuck what anybody thinks. He smokes a cigarette.
A carton.
Yeah, a carton of cigarettes. He's drinking his beer, and he just takes his Sawzall and says, fuck you, beautiful car. And then he puts his shit on it, and he's got 19,000 people watching him.
On a live stream.
Yeah, imagine if Picasso was here. You know how many people would be fucking geeking out on the internet watching this guy fucking...
Yeah.
Maybe they wouldn't, maybe they would, but once he keeled over, they sure would, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it looked cool. I mean,
the guy refuses to do any work with you unless he's the one cutting it and hanging it.
It's unbelievable.
And I love that.
No, it's completely unbelievable.
And if you read it,
but,
so,
I mean,
one of my customers.
It's just an insane business model because it is 100% based on literally the blood and fucking sweat of one human being.
But I think the point is that it's not, for him, it wasn't necessarily a business model.
No,
he didn't. I want this to look this. I like to extrapolate the proportions.
Stop that shit. Honestly, international fucking stores.
You know what that was?
Stop being about the art.
One of my friends, Casey. He's the one who put me onto this, and he goes, you got to read this book. So I read the book that the guys from RWB Australia, I think, did. And it was fucking rad. And I was, like, reading. I'm like, you know what? Andy, I don't care if you're building typewriters. If you have passion and like, you're seriously sold on your shit, I love it. You know, I can get into it. So I read the book. I looked at the pictures. I looked at his processes. At first, I thought it was, like, a dog and pony show. He could give two fucks what anybody thinks. He's building something. He's like, I love to build the stuff that I like. Granted, fine, it's not for me. Personally, mm-hmm. Unless it goes around a track and it hauls ass and it's like a very purposeful thing, I love.
Apparently, they do race them
in
Japan. Apparently, they race them.
And I think that's what I'm trying. That's why you're seeing them at my shop. I'm trying to bring them in. I want to turn them into these cars that you can just beat the shit out of. And they ask for more. You know, it's like right now they look dainty to me. They look like you don't want to bounce off the FIA curbing too hard because you're going to bottom your shock out. All right, put proper length shocks as KW did. You don't want to do that. KW is answering to it. They built a specific damper for that style of car.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's badass, too.
Oh, really?
And it works. Yeah, it's like they answered to it. And they
KWB? Is that what it's called? No.
No, that's KYB. Yeah.
But, all right, look, I just think that was delay of game there. Mm-hmm. I just think that once you have opened up shops on continents like that, of course it's about the business.
Did he open them up, or did other people?
They're not doing it without his permission and fucking endorsement. He's flying around. I mean, like,
but he's licensing.
Dude, no, God, look, don't get me wrong. Fucking God bless. If you can hand cut a fender of a car and make it look great,
that was just freshly painted.
You're amazing. Yeah, yeah. I'm not shitting on the guy's talent or the style or anything. Like, I'm just saying that when you have a whole business, and Larry the detailer, Larry Casilla, is learning this very fucking quickly too. When your entire business, even if it is a very high value business, like 25 G's he apparently earns in 36 hours doing these fucking cars, you know, it's limited by the ability of one human being's body.
So you got to make it worth it. 25 G's in 36 hours.
You can't grow that beyond what you can literally do.
Do you fucking need to?
That. I totally agree.
Do you fucking need to, Matt? You don't need to.
But in order to maintain that, he's destroying his own body to do it.
He doesn't. Artist. He's committed.
I don't think
that's
that
the
he
artistry.
Was particularly.
That's the samurai. The fucking. The that's the craft. The you know it's like.
I don't think he was a help not going into this whole thing.
Look at him. He's not going to fucking Whole Foods for lunch.
When you see your customers flipping these fuckers at a profit, bro, and you're on your hands and knees hand-cutting vendors, and the guy, the asshole that wrote the check is doubling his money.
I think that's highly frowned upon, but I get what you're saying there, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Why shouldn't he be selling? He could be singer.
He doesn't need to be. He doesn't. He has no desire for that shit.
The difference is he makes money.
He does.
Oh, no, Singer's fine.
I think Singer's,
I think Singer's okay, fine.
But they ain't rolling cash is what I'm getting.
Add zeros. Yeah. Totally.
Bro, I think Singer is okay, bro. Mm-hmm.
I think this guy's like, I got 25 grand in a day. I'm fine. And he's doing more than for a year.
Look,
so,
2 years out.
Right.
He's two years out.
What I want to see
a lot of money.
Right now,
he's
today,
fine.
Even when you think it's diluted.
Have we seen any of the early cars, though?
The customer being on the list must be a profitable enterprise. There's enough fucking rich people.
There's a value add there, right?
Yeah. Being on the list.
Listen,
it's the same as a Ferrari.
My customers, they want to come to me. They want to buy something. They want to move out. They want to enjoy it. They don't
fucking
want to wait 2 years.
What's your list look like right now? It's 2 months?
Minimum.
Right?
Yeah.
Your list is 2 months.
But for you, Matt, you call me. It's the Mustang's in there.
Bro.
Sorry,
sorry
to the rest of my customers.
It's not
out. Yeah. It's in. It just lives there.
You know
people
that,
go, holy shit, is that
you know
Matt's
that,
Mustang? Yeah.
That first, like, that everyone's got that check on the wall, that first, like, $4, you know, they made that first check. Your first check, you owe me.
Yeah.
So
I got to pay you my first check, yeah.
I filmed that R8 with a body kit on.
I was just thinking about that during the break. Honestly, I was just thinking about that. I was like, how far have we come? Because I was thinking about you and like your team and everything.
997.
I was like, you know what? Matt's a grinder.
Oh, we're before that. We went,
no,
we go back
this
to
is
08. 08.
Oh,
yeah.
Before I met you.
This is 9 years ago.
Yeah. Before I lived in Los Angeles, I came out here. Craig Lieberman is like, you got to meet the guys, and I introduced me to Tim and Joey, and they had this fucking R8 with like a body kit on it.
An exhaust.
And I did like a review on that, and then I got fired from Garage 419 like a week later.
I thought you owned that.
No.
You're still on my phone as Matt 419.
Oh, God. Please
change
that. Isn't
that an area code or something?
No, it was the address of our building. All
right, I'll change it right now. I thought it was something you held dear to.
No, but thank you for thinking
Matt 419.
No, yeah, just fair is okay.
That was like just trying to be I was just trying to be nostalgic with you.
But I made this video as if that was a cool thing.
Matt. It's gonna be Matt Future 911.
Oh
no, honestly,
I was like waiting for the fall, but like it had a body kit and exhaust.
But what was funny was like the shop, right? Even in the early days of old BBI, like there was like 10 dope ass Porsches there of various states, you know, standing mile cars and track cars and whatever. But like he didn't know me. And I didn't know him. We never met.
Yeah.
And so he's like, yeah, why don't you drive this fucking stock R8?
You know? don't even think about touching a 911.
With a body kit.
Yeah, beat
don't
it.
Don't even think about this GT2, son.
Yeah. Yeah. And me in the same way. I'm like, holy shit, this guy's going to make a video about us.
Now I got the keys to the kingdom.
Well, and then the second video was like, was it Kong's early car, right? The green gray car?
No, Eric's car.
Eric's car.
Eric Dow's car, yeah.
That
car's still still hammering.
That video fucking slayed him, didn't it? The video did mad views.
Well, that was first season of Tuned.
Our view count average for Tuned, I hadn't looked in a while, but for some reason
it's
ridiculous. So our Tuned was a fucking murderous rampage.
I don't care what any of you guys say. Matt fucking knows what he's doing.
That was a we got a
that
good,
video. No, but, is 643,000.
Oh, is that all? I thought.
What
it was
do you mean?
More,
is that all?
That's, I thought it was.
I don't
I
have
640
of anything.
You know,
like,
you
not
know
views,
what's,
not,
you know what's
not
huge?
Customers, not anything.
1,000 horsepower minivan and 1,000 horsepower 911 are at 2.5 million.
Wow!
Because 1,000 horsepower minivan.
You ever hang with Busy?
Yeah, he's such a nice guy.
Isn't he amazing?
Oh, he's awesome.
He speaks like he's doing voiceover.
Mm-hmm.
Here at Bizimoto Engineering, we perfected the thermodynamic capabilities of the M96
engine. So the weird Bizimoto video wasn't weird. That was just him being
nice
him.
No, that's how he talks.
No, not yours, but I mean the weird one he did where it was
did
like.
Did he do a weird one?
Yeah, he did a really weird one.
Oh, I
didn't
see
one.
It.
But it was that everybody thought it was an affectation, but that's how he just talks.
No, that's
yeah,
really
no,
how he talks.
He's from
wherever
he's from.
He knows, that guy knows some horsepower. He can build some.
Fuck yeah, he can.
He can build some.
No,
motors.
He's a smart dude. Like,
you need to do a collab with him because you need to teach him chassis dynamics, and he needs to teach. He doesn't need to teach you anything about horsepower. You know about horsepower.
We both know
he's
horsepower,
fun.
But no, he's. So, I would love to do a collab with him.
It'd be fun. Yeah. You know what I would love to have him do? He should, dude. If we do an AER single cam Honda. Busy
could build it. Yeah.
You know he's got a Honda Insight. Have you seen that car?
Yeah,
Busy's got a 9-second Honda Insight with no turbo on it.
Yeah, and
I drove a Civic Si that was a stroker engine, and it was 330 at the wheels, all motor, on a 14-to-1 compression or 13-to-1.
That
compression.
Must sound like the world's ending.
It sounded like a 2-stroke. It was like a snowmobile. It was great though. We need to go like we need to build like the cheatiest single cab busy
like a 2.6 liter. Then you got to cut the valve cover out for the camshaft.
Yeah. Some real crazy cheater motor.
Oh, I'm into that. Yeah,
he's cool.
No, he really is.
I would love to go racing with you because you can fucking drive too.
I have
you
fun
do drive.
The wheel. Yeah,
you do. We should. We gotta find a way to do something.
Deal.
And go drive. Fuck! It's so tempting to turn my Mustang into it. What if I just give you the Mustang
and you prep
it for AER? Mine.
Yeah. Fine. Deal.
We can't race on fucking HREs. I guess we can.
Yeah, we can. Yeah, of course we can. Why? They're round. Well, they hold air. And they're
replacement costs.
Yeah. I think you got to get the car. No offense, like working.
High HRE.
Work,
we're going to need
like
a sponsorship.
A day, and then 2 days, and then three.
No,
days.
I can't have like owner driver syndrome. I can't do it. I'm so comfortable buying a seat in Jack's car. You know, I can't be the team owner. I can't drive. It's weird. I guess I make excuses either way.
Yeah,
either I make
excuses
that I'm driving a borrowed car. Or I make excuses that I'm driving my own car. There's no
the minute the
US car is the
dude,
only.
Let me just tell you something about driving expensive shit. The minute you focus on the negative,
I know
your mind's not in the apex. You know?
I know Chris Harris has always told me that to completely ignore the value of the automobile.
You have to,
and I can't do it.
Don't be distracted.
Can't do it.
And it's not out of a lack of respect for what you're doing at all. It's just I think things require fucking focus.
Nobody ever apologizes to the team owner for setting fast lap.
No, when you're hauling ass, like you, it requires focus in all of it. Like you know, it's like yoga or sex. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes there's very few things in the world that get 100% of my focus.
Yeah. And, no, I do. I do love that racing is one of those things. Yeah. Like you know, racing is even cheap racing is extraordinarily expensive, and I priced out what I actually spent to go to Road Atlanta and ultimately get 90 minutes in a race car. I mean, and in terms of dollars per minute,
strip clubs are so much cheaper.
Strip clubs are way fucking cheaper. I mean, way
children.
Cheaper. And I mean, and,
let's put a topic in between those two,
dude. And renting exotic cars is way cheaper.
Yeah.
Traveling to an exotic location is way cheaper.
Yeah.
You know, you're literally, you know, you're paying a ton of money to be fucking grimy as shit and stand around a dirty place in freezing cold.
It's usually either cold or hot. It's
either
not in between.
Death
never perfect.
Or freezing cold. Yeah. The food is garbage, and you're doing it just for those 90 minutes or 180 minutes or whatever. You know, in a fucking real race.
Yeah, but you talked about it for 6 months. You know, it's like
because the best.
It's the best.
Because you're so you are not thinking about anything else. You are in that fucking zone when you're harnessed in and you're fucking.
Exactly. When your cheeks are all pressed in with the helmet and you're harnessed in, you can barely breathe because of the cruise. But anyways. Like,
and even going wheel to wheel isn't that scary once you get kind of used to it. It's
once you
shocking.
Get acclimated, right?
Acclimated to,
but the fact is, you're focused, and it gets all of you, and it consumes all of your attention, and you get out, and the craziest thing is, I get out so relaxed and so like just zen'd.
Yeah,
you know, it's like I always say, it's like I don't know, I don't meditate, I don't do any of that, I don't do yoga. I mean, sometimes I try it with my wife, but. It's like from what people say, from like the runner's high or this and that.
Yeah,
it's like
the endorphin release.
You get out and I'm
getting
good,
out of
I'm
the
good
car.
For like a month or two. Like of, I mean, it's like
yeah.
My
well, I
girlfriend.
Feel like if I go body surfing in when we live in Playas to do this, like wintertime when it's chilly, it's like 20 minutes, and if there's kind of some decent waves, it's like you're cold, you're focused, you're trying to stay, you know, above
nothing
the water.
Else is in your thoughts.
You can't think about anything else because if you're trying to have fun but also not drown and all that stuff. And then by the end, you're exhausted and you just get out and just look at the ocean and it's just like...
My girlfriend's family has a saying that says fun is best when it's over.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, is hilarious and kind of, you know, you know, but also quite accurate. You appreciate the fun of things once they're done. It's when they're in them, you go through a range of emotions from fear to excitement to, you know, G-forces, especially if we're talking about racing and whatnot. And it's fucking crazy.
Yeah, and I can imagine, like, any, like, a contact sport or, like, a... or any sport really, where it's two things against each, like, you know, racing. You could be on the lead lap at 23 hours and 40 minutes at Daytona and puncture a tire, you know, or you could get taken out by a prototype if you're in a GT. You know what I mean? Like the ups and downs of what you anticipate throughout and what you build yourself up and the psyche of the whole gig is.
Yeah.
And once you get, like you said, like once you get out of it, you're like, fuck yeah, that's the shit. Even as simple as taking like Project Swan and throttling the shit out of it on track.
It's God, like, I wish I had the balls to drive that car at the speed it can go.
You get out of that car and you're just you are not exhausted, but you're mentally fucking drained because it requires everything.
I drove that car. I think I recall driving that car on the street.
You did?
And well, no.
Oh, sorry. I jumped in way too quick.
You were there, Matt.
No, I think there was a calm after that. I think I recall driving that car in the street and getting out of it and being like, whoa. Like, I think it was like that was like a – not that it was a workout from a physical standpoint, but from like
– It requires you.
It's definitely, you know, the G-forces. And when I drive, I have to talk. Yeah. So try.
I don't know how you do that shit. That's crazy.
That's a weird talent to have.
Yeah, I've tried. Like, I was taking people for rides in Swan when we first got it going at Chuckwalla.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're drifting and you're trying to talk about it because you see the passenger, like, smacking their foot against the floorboard and like, trying to tear the dash out. Like,
yeah.
You know, like, no, this car's got – it's actually pretty easy to drive, but it's – you're really actually sideways but accelerating extremely hard. Yeah. And, yeah, don't mind that explosion that just blew your eardrums out from shifting.
Speaking
but
of
– talking while sliding is
– that I
even Harris gets quiet when
– Well, I was just going to say, speaking of talking while sliding, did you see the new Top Gear yesterday?
No, I can't. I
Harris is
it.
Basically the lead now.
I'm not surprised. The best
very
driver.
Good job.
He's very good.
He was,
I'm excited to watch it. I got to find a way to
so much better.
Like him, you, me. Well, there is a possibility that it's not likely, but it's we. I mean, maybe it's tough. He's a tough guy, dude. He's very busy.
He's
honestly.
Got a full calendar.
He loves racing.
He's like me with work ethic, but then he also has kids.
Ooh.
Which so it's really hard. And he lives in the middle of fucking nowhere. So Matt, the time it takes him to do anything must be extraordinary.
It's a commitment.
Yeah. And he gets to race like real cars. But he has expressed interest. I don't know. I'd love to do a race with him. I
Thunderhill.
Chris is like he's one of the best people you could ever work with, but it's very difficult to work with him because I constantly feel the need to try and impress him. I don't feel like that around.
He's the type
else.
Of guy that looks at you straight up. You don't need to impress me.
And he,
you know, like when you're driving
and
with somebody,
that,
and they're like,
no, he says that to me, and he means it.
Yeah,
all the time.
He's like, let me just enjoy you as a person.
It's not about him.
And you need to shut it off a little bit.
It's not no. I don't try and impress him.
No, I know, but
like I try and impress him with driving. I know it's the only person that I do that with. I don't care. I hang out with like racing drivers, you know, and I don't need to impress them. But something about hanging out with Chris,
it's like, you know why?
Validated by
Matt,
Chris.
It's because
I need.
Unlike
I don't
a racing
why.
Driver,
like,
you and Chris have the same job.
Yeah,
that's why.
Because he's one of the few people that I think is much better than me at my own job.
You see,
there's not a lot of them,
and
he's
you see
them,
how fluid that guy is.
It's like he doesn't even fucking try.
No.
It's really annoying.
He took me for laps in the 911 R at Anglesey.
Yeah.
And
why don't we talk about that for a second?
Double name drop, son.
He just doesn't even seem like
his hands
he's
are
trying.
So soft. But he was, you know, he's sliding it, but he's explaining how to slide a 911 while he's doing it, which is, I mean, I've had two amazing experiences with him. I got to ride in the Nürburgring too. And it's like, he's very good. He's at the level because he taught drift school. He's raced a lot. He's done a lot of that experience. I mean, he's 10 years older than us or something.
Yeah, the difference between him and basically everybody, and I really do
Unicorn.
Mean pretty much everybody, is that he can do things that normally you would need a setup car to do. in anything. He can do it in anything. And I mean fucking like cars with Haldex. He can fucking huck into a corner and do a four. Like,
oh, a CLA.
Things that I've never seen before. Like, it's like him.
He knows how to
Tanner,
make a car talk.
There's like six people on Earth.
Tanner's a freak too, man.
Tanner is a freak.
Yeah, freak of nature, yeah. That guy.
And guys like that, like, you need a fucking, like...
I had him over for a barbecue. I was like, just looking at him. I'm like...
Tanner?
Yeah.
He's like, so easy to hate. He's so good looking and so good at his job. You want to hate him, but then you love him and you're like, ah!
No, but he's one of the guys though.
He's like a robot.
Yeah.
But driving robot.
There's no pretense to him whatsoever.
He's just so programmed to like haul ass.
I know.
Just like, yeah.
It bothers me.
I drove with Randy Popes once.
Randy's a robot too.
He's a fucking robot.
Oh.
I was like, I'm fast. I'm in a cup car. And we did the 25 Hours of Thunder Hill together. And he's like, oh yeah, yeah. You're super slow. You need to do this and this.
Dude, I love the guy. I went to the DSC thing and he's there.
Yeah.
And he's a robot.
Unbelievable.
75 seconds a lap faster than everybody.
All of the seconds faster.
We had a shoot. Yeah.
Hey, but the whole time he's laughing and having a good time, and he gets out and drinks his like smoothie.
Hey guys, fuck. God damn it, Randy. Stop being a driving robot. Yeah. Stop being so good.
I swear they're all aliens. There's technology in their heads that we can't get.
We had a shoot at Bond Run, and the day the shoot ended, they hosted Rallycross, you know, like Red Bull Rallycross, whatever. And so we just watched the start, and the lead that Tanner put on the field and then extended, it was unfair to watch. Is this real? It was insane.
The fucked up thing. One day they're going to do an autopsy on these guys, and they'll be like, "Oh yeah, they're part robot or part time travel. They're part alien. You know, they're just here to like experiment and fuck with you guys."
But the fucked up thing with Rallycross is you'd have Tanner racing against like Dave Muir was a great guy and a halfway decent driver, but he was a pro BMX guy that got in a race car.
Or you have Tanner racing against like some fucking top-notch rally drivers that they flow
like
from Petter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's racing against
Petter. And he's just like, oh, cool, you're cute too. I'm going to hammer you also. Yeah. Like, you know, like, I've seen Tanner and like Randy.
Or like Bucky. Bucky is a fucking great guy. He's not at the same level.
Bucky's strong.
Yeah,
he's worked at it and he got good.
He got a lot faster.
That's another guy that you watch his hands in a car, and he's just a tick ahead of everything.
Bucky is quick. But he's great because you can tell he's taught. He doesn't actually. I don't think he had a lot of natural driving ability. I mean, he's an athlete.
You know what
he's got
taught him? I think
like,
his relentless pursuit for being great at that.
Well, that's what
I'm
saying.
It was literally within. Like I've watched him. Yeah, I remember practice. Before he even had his before he even had any contracts or anything like that. He would just get out there and relentlessly push. He's looking at lap times. He's obsessive over.
I didn't mean taught like a great coach. I mean like he practiced.
Yeah,
he practiced his way to being awesome. Yeah. He doesn't. I think Tanner practiced as well, but I think Tanner had more natural ability as a proper freak of nature.
Right.
And started earlier.
Yeah.
So
he was drifting school buses
when he was like 20.
I know. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The drift cars, like I don't know. I'm not as good as any of these people by a long shot, but. Having tried some Formula D cars and some like pretty fairly pro grade rally cars, I don't think that's like when you can get into a random street car and huck it into a stock street car
with a bunch of the fucking nannies on it,
dude. Yeah. That's impressive. A level of fucking skill that it's so much harder. Like,
I suggest everybody practice on rental cars.
Drift cars are so easy.
Rent
and get the rental waiver. You can wreck it for $12.
But when you can do it in a street car. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And do it on command over and over, you know, with confidence. It's pretty amazing.
Well, and we've discussed this before, but, like, we see these guys set up in a car they've never got into. They do one quick jerk to the left, one quick jerk to the right, and they go, okay, this is how this feels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now I can make this thing talk. Yeah.
Yeah,
true.
Yeah.
It's TJ does that. Well. You find the limit. Oops, you find the limit really quickly. You do a donut. Because a lot of times on set, they're not allowed to practice for a day. It's like
I can imagine when you guys are doing, like, if you watch some of Ken Block's stuff, and he has, like, there's, like, 19 sets of four-wheel drift marks across the corner.
Yeah.
Like, I see a lot of other, like, productions where you don't see that.
They don't get that.
And it's literally the guy just goes hammering through, hanging a wheel, and that's it. It's like,
Tanner prides himself on that one time.
I don't want other marks on
that. I was up there on Mulholland, and when he did that Mulholland video, the whole thing.
Yeah.
He didn't do the whole thing in one take. He did it in thirds.
Uh-huh.
But each one
he put it all together.
Only did once.
Wow.
No. He didn't.
Oh, he only
it.
Did one.
There weren't enough cameras.
See, that's alien
to cover
to me.
The whole
that's
road.
That's crazy, right?
So he divided into thirds, but he did each third of it one time.
Yeah. And then he goes,
wanted a clean.
And
road.
Then he sits down there. He closes his eye for half a second. Puts his helmet on. He's like, okay, I got this clicked off.
It was unbelievable to watch him do that. Seriously, one of the greatest drivers I've ever, I've been in the car with him a bunch. I'm very lucky like that.
Yeah.
You've never seen somebody so calm doing the craziest shit, you know.
I love it. Like that, I mean, yeah, he's like
unbelievable.
That's cool shit.
We need to own a skin pad.
Do we need to answer any more questions?
I think we do.
Do we have time for it?
I'd like to. Like, I don't think we need to kill this show
no,
right now.
No, we don't.
However, I really have to pee. So let's take a quick break, pee, and then we'll do a next part, and we'll go to Facebook for some questions. And I also should tell Hannah that I'll be late.
All right, we're rolling.
Hell yeah. Okay,
we're
cool.
Back.
We're gonna do another third. We'll go to Facebook real quick. Zach is manning the Facebook.
I have some questions.
I put that Batim would be here. Fuck me. I took my tape off my hand during the break.
Are you getting brave?
No, I broke my fucking
no,
finger.
No, I know, yeah.
An asshole, and I took the tape off because I washed my hands after pissing, and it got gross, and now my hand hurts because fucking hell. Do we have Gaffer? Is there Gaffer in this Maybe. Case right here, 5D case?
Maybe.
Where's Gaffer? Where would their Gaffer be? Because you can go to Facebook, and I can get Gaffer real quick.
Green
we need
case.
To fashion a splint.
Okay. Maybe. I got it. Go ahead.
Try right. Green case. Any conclusion? This is for Tim on if 996s are worth their price, including preventative maintenance like IMS bearing, or should someone avoid them altogether?
Hmm.
Is that a question for Mr. Stevenson?
Shit.
Not
okay. Friday. Honestly, they're the good ones and the bad ones, and I don't know what defines the difference. And everybody's gonna be like, "Oh, you got the dual roller and the bearing fed and the this and that." I just went through one of these, had 100-something thousand miles. I drove the car a little bit, not too hard. We put a new IMS bearing, the upgrade from LNN. We did the oil change, the everything, all the good stuff. And then all of a sudden, I get a phone call that the engine let go. I still haven't taken it apart, so I don't know what it is. But to be honest, it's hit or miss. You know, it's like it really is. Like I had a Boxster with 150,000 miles that I beat the shit out of, and I had the same quote unquote issues with the intermediate shaft. I never even touched it, you know, and the car was awesome. Like I'd loan it to customers and they'd go do a track day in it, come back, and say, "Oh, this car is fun, you know, it handles well." But I don't know, it's such a hard question to answer. I'm spooked by those engines.
I would say
personally.
Don't get them. Like just I mean, don't get agree. Them. Like
but it's nothing
not,
against what, them. It's just like there's some
yeah, but like they're not that good.
Yeah,
that's the problem. Okay, worst case scenario is what he just said. Like, go through the engine, make it nice,
do the intermediate shaft update,
all that shit, and it takes a big fat dump anyway. Mm-hmm. That's a worst case scenario, right?
Yeah.
What's the best case scenario?
The car
drives okay.
The car.
That's the best case scenario.
Yeah, but listen,
you got a car
right,
that
here,
drives fucking okay.
Let's back up a bit.
With ugly headlights.
Patrick and I got a car together, and we did our full streak up to it, and we put like rotiforms on it, and R888s and KW Club Sports, and all of our control arms. Dude, the fucking car handles so good. It's like
I bet you have to push it down a hill, though, right? It's a soapbox car.
Best soapbox car ever.
You want to enter in that Red Bull soapbox derby?
Yes. Just jumping off the fucking pier, like fuck it. No, but yeah, it's like that. How you say you drive sometimes an expensive shit, you have that in the back of your head. Like when you drive those cars, you're in the back of your head, you're like, this engine's gonna let go somewhere at some point, like, and I'm gonna be so far away from anything.
Yeah,
but that's to me personally what I go through. A lot of other people have great luck with those damn engines, you know. Dwayne at Vision down here in Lake Forest, he builds an indestructible version of that's where that engine's gonna go, but he builds an indestructible version of that engine. I don't know how the
he
fuck
builds
he
the only reliable M96 engine.
He does.
Ever.
He puts the unicorn dust in it. He kills a couple, like sacrifices some lambs. I don't know what the fuck he does.
Really?
But his engines last. He races the shit out of them. He wins championships, huh. And he does a lot of street car work too. So I don't build those engines. I don't.
See, you have to get lucky. You have to buy an engine.
I'm a Metzger guy, or the new M91 or the M981 engines.
Is that the new GT3 motor?
Yeah, the new GT3 and turbo and the DI engine.
Turn out those are good.
Those are fucking good engines.
So as it turns out, all that fucking whining about how the Metzger, it turns out the new ones are good.
It's a good engine.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. We could talk about the downfalls, but the downfalls are very shit. The downfalls are very like very on not on. Purpose, but you know there's an obvious issue there. But anyways, the M96, I think the only guy that I know that builds a good one, and I could be way out of line, but Dwayne at Vision. I mean, he builds a badass engine, Busy, you know what? You're right. Busy
built one.
Busy knows how to make power out of them.
His was 1,000 horsepower. Car was a fucking death trap. I mean, it was, but it makes.
But honestly, that's not an engine. That's like an engine. Like if you're gonna build it, like build quote unquote. Build it to be reliable. Fuck power. Like, just make it last and make this, it so you don't have to think about it.
It might be heresy, but given the volume of those cars that are out there, I mean, they're a fucking dime a dozen. Does an engine swap make sense on those cars?
LS.
Yeah.
Renegade LS. It's on Renegade Vegas LS.
Is that it?
Yeah, that went through my... As soon as Patrick called me, he's like, hey, man. He was on the Driving Wild Awesome, the Coastal Rally. Yeah. And... He's like, hey, dude, I got some bad news. And I'm on a beautiful trip with my wife. The first trip we took away from my son, you know, and like he stayed with the grandparents. No, it's more like, let's just get shit faced and have a good time with this shit. It's like, but anyways, he calls me, hey, man, I got some bad news. I'm like, oh, fuck. This guy wrecked the car. He took out like a minivan or something. I don't know what happened the way he was talking. And he's like, hey, the engine blew up. I'm like, duh. I was like, I know. Okay, thank God. That's all that happened. Okay, Patrick, it's okay. Just get it towed to the shop. We'll work on the engine. But, dude, I thought he was like, I put it into a wall. Because the car, like, it handled so fucking well.
He got a little too overconfident? Yeah, it
just makes you feel like you could just do anything with the car. And honestly, it had it had such a good slip angle and everything. But anyways.
So the answer to the quick question, the TLDR is no. No.
It's
how much
if you with your expertise, your career, all that stuff, are like I'm not sure how this works. You know, it's a casino. Like skip it.
It's a casino,
dude.
It's rolling the dice. It's like a 50-50 thing, and
it's not 50-50. The upside is your car is a 7. The downside is you have to buy a $15,000 motor in your $12,000 911. The downside is a -3, and the upside is a 7. That's a shit bet.
What is the motor swap?
Buy one of the blown engine and put an LS in it.
Yeah. LS swap?
Yeah, what is the kit cost for that thing?
I don't know. Dude, I don't know, but it's worth it, whatever.
Did
it
I call you after imagine I drove that Cayman with the Coyote motor in?
You got me thinking after that.
It was the jam.
As soon as Patrick called me, I told my wife, I'm like...
It's the fastest Cayman I've ever driven by.
Yeah, I told my wife, I'm like, we're putting an LS in this car. She goes, what do you mean? I'm like, yeah, like we're putting a V8 in it. What about the weight? I'm like, it's almost the same weight. The center of gravity is just as low, if not lower.
Parts are cheap.
Makes a lot of power. And then I called my buddy BA from AD Performance. I'm like, hey, so... How much can we build now? He go, oh dude, you can go 750 crank on pump gas. You got to do huge heads, big cam, tie valve. He goes, I'm gonna send you everything. I'm like, oh shit. Oh hold on, I'm just asking. And then
the problem is you got to find a gearbox that'll hold that power because the stock Carrera gearbox
that thing will split in half.
Yeah.
Then
that's
you
what
they
told me about the Coyote motor in the Cayman.
You have to be easy.
He said either you don't do drag launches and you got to be easy on it and you know heel toe properly all the time or you know, you spend 10 G's or whatever the fuck it is.
So honestly, what is the value? What's the badass Porsche to buy? You know, like my God, a lot of people asking me, what is the best
right
bang
now?
For the buck? You know what it's going to be? So you save your money, you buy a 2009 911 with a DI engine, and you can't break it.
Really?
Yeah.
A 9972 is the one?
9972.
See, I'm happy with that because I would like something that feels kind of new-ish.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Nice interior.
Or I just
the price right. And you know what? You can't hurt that engine. You
just had
to
go in a 993 Carrera 2 for the first time in a while. It was slow.
Yeah, but that's a good car.
It was
slow,
but this car had like 125,000 miles on it. And if you told me it had 30,000 on it,
and when
you know what I mean?
Yeah, but the air cool, you close the door,
it
sounds like a bank vault. You know, it just goes crack every time.
Delightful. It was so slow, and I couldn't.
I'm glad you can appreciate that.
Yeah.
I don't mind. I like a slow car, yeah. actually. I don't, I'm not, unless it's like, you know, dangerously slow. It was still, what are those, 280 horsepower or something?
I drove a smart car. That's dangerously
slow. No, those are shit. Yeah. Those are, but I don't know. What else we got on Facebook? Okay, so M96s are terrible.
All right. They really are. Do you think Porsche will ever make a car that slots under the 918 but above the 911?
They are. It's called the 960. They're going to put
that's the mid-engine, the homologation race car?
Yeah, they're going to come out with that.
Yeah. Probably a good idea. I bet it'll be cool.
Yeah, it's a good in-between. It's a McLaren chaser. You know, it's like a 488 chaser.
Do you think they're – because I went to Daytona, so I saw the new RSR, and it was like,
thank you for those videos, by the way.
It's mid-engine. Alrighty then.
Yeah.
Do you think they've hit the wall of what they can do with a rear-engine car, and that they to stay competitive with the other people, they're going to have to go mid-engine?
Okay, look at what everybody's doing, right? Everybody. So the pinnacle of a GT program is to, you know, from a romantic standpoint, from what they sell you, is to gather information to provide the best quality street car possible, right? But they need to fucking win races. Mm-hmm. When the 4GT comes up.
The 4GT is like 4 inches, 5 inches lower and longer and wider.
It has zero frontal area. It's like,
it has the frontal area of a monorail.
Yeah, right. It's like nothing. And like, you have to answer to that. I don't care what you do.
I know, but I'm saying even with street cars, look at the street cars that the 911 is kind of up against, even though they're a bit outside of its class. It's like the 570 is insane. The McLarens are nuts. You know, the 488s now have everything that's like 600 horsepower, which the Porsche turbos can make as well, but all have mid-engine setups.
But a 991 RS, you know, with a good driver, will lap time at 675.
And it?
Yeah, call me.
No.
Yeah, like at thermal. Like somebody hammering it.
Thermal. Thermal's not a real track.
Okay.
And a real track, a 675 LT will house a GT.
Like, what's a real track?
Road Atlanta.
Okay, yeah. That's
Watkins, yeah. Watkins Glen.
Okay, yeah.
Road
yeah.
America.
Yeah, okay, fine. Maybe
I'm not trying to speak.
No, thermal's a very short track.
No, but Zach, I know what you're saying. It's like,
I'm just curious if that's going to be the future.
Maybe. You know, it's like, I've never been a traditionalist, right? So I've always tried to put the engine as far forward as possible. It's like the Caymans. I always try to put 911 engines in them.
You prefer the Caymans, don't you? All things being equal, if you could put all 911 options into Cayman, would take a Cayman, right?
I would too. But okay, there's something to be said about a driving experience of a 911. And fine, for lap times, whatever it is, there's just like you get. Like, I've got a customer who has a 997 GT3 and a GT4. And he's like, I get on my GT4, and I got on the GT3, and it's just like, the GT3 just shits all over the GT4 from a driver's experience. They tried putting the manual gearbox in it. It's great. I love it. But like I said, the GT4 needs love. It needs to be... There's just something...
The GT4 is softer, I think, than the older GT3.
There's just something about a 911 that... That gives you an experience that
it's that,
and
it's,
I'm not even
dude,
bullshitting.
No,
like
it's the engine is really fucking far away from you, behind you.
You have to be ahead of that car if you want to drive it fast. Yeah, if you can drive a 911 fast, you can go fucking fast, right? Does that make any sense? Like,
yeah,
anybody can get in. No offense, but anybody can get in a fucking badass V8 M3 with a supercharger on it and go fucking rip a lap time. You could do irresponsible things on a track in an M3. Like, if you can drive a 911 fast, I think you're a wheel man. I think you're like, you watch Chris Harris do it with like sleeping and talking on camera with like drinking tea. I'm like, that fucking guy is crazy.
Yeah, or you watch Lee do it.
Lee. There's another example of a maniac.
It makes me very
He's
angry.
Alien also.
It makes me very angry. His in-car is the most frustrating thing you can
ever
watch.
To watch.
His in-car from One Lap of America, and I bring it up all the time.
I hate to say how nonchalant
he is. 800 horsepower GTR on the back straight of High Plains Raceway, I'm watching his in-car.
With afterburners lit.
Dude, he's going like a $170. He's fucking with the radio.
Yeah.
He's going through his presets and you can hear it. Like, he's literally scrolling through radio stations.
He's
on
doing it 170, what we do at 35, 65.
It makes me so mad.
I know. Well, like I said,
and then drifting in flip-flops.
Oh, yeah. That's
he was
cool.
Drifting his fucking rally car in flip-flops.
Flip-flops have very good pedal feel, I would say. But
so do Converse.
Get stuck.
Dude,
Converse
when I wear flip-flops, I take them off. I drive barefoot. That's good pedal feel. But he was in flip-flops, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
What's the most hated car you've ever worked on?
A 928.
They're nice.
They're the most fucking hard cars. Okay, so if you want to align one, and you lift it on the lift, the bushing sags so much that when you put it back down on the rack, if you don't loosen every fucking control arm bolt and let the rubber bushings, the control arms relax, you align it, and then you come back, like you set your toe
looks
in the
like
front.
A tractor.
And then you go back to the rear, you set your toe, and you come back to the front, it's fucking negative camera, the toe's towed out because the thing sags another inch. Oh,
is that one of those cars you have to tighten on the fucking ground?
No, you just have to loosen everything on the rack at ride height. So you loosen all the pivot points, and then you retighten everything. Technically, you should pretty much do that on every car if you lower it or anything like that, because rubber bushings, they just use the deflection to travel instead of actually like a spherical bearing moves.
Yeah.
You know, but 928, fuck, man.
They're nice to drive. I had a go in one,
they're
though,
badass
and it
to drive.
Was really, really nice all right. to drive.
I was 19 years old. I was working at Ford all again, and I worked on a lot of cool cars. And I was always obsessed with V8s because I'm a Mustang guy. Like, you know, I've got my 67 and all that shit. And we put long tube headers on a 928 GTS. We put Konies, sleeve over, short gearbox, bigger intake manifold, ported intake manifold.
Beast.
Dude, it was so rad. So then I built straight pipes all the way back out. Again, I used Flowmasters. I did an X pipe in it. Came out of the back tailpipe, two big old fucking 3-inch dumps, and I drove by the parking lot, and the painter next door, his name was Steve, he was such a smart ass, he goes, "Fuck, man, really cool, you spent your customer spent $5,000 to make it sound like a Z28, badass." Exactly. I'm like, "Fuck you, Steve." No, but I love driving that car, but you know, it's like, and my dad,
they drive cool as
my
shit,
dad
though.
Still tells me to this day, in 1977, he drove a 928, probably like the first narrow body 928, it was brown on brown on the Autobahn, he said he was doing like Mach 54, so, and I always had like a love for them, but until I had to work on them, they're so tough to work on.
Just because everything is so tight and the weird special,
and it's just like
thing,
it's like they built the car and like, oh well, fuck, somebody's gonna have to actually work on this car one day, so you're gonna have
that's
to pull
what I hear about all German cars, really.
No, like the new German cars, like Porsches, you could see a, you know what really is fuck to work on is a fucking Ferrari.
A new Ferrari or
dude,
an old
the 488 we took it apart, like we just did one, and that it's like you look, we took apart an 11-year-old Carrera GT, and it made sense. There was no body shims. Everything clicked together perfectly. I mean, it was fucking art. You know, it's like, this is like an 06 Carrera GT, and I was still taken back by that. The car.
Well,
was like,
the Germans.
But then I take apart a Ferrari that cost about, you know, sticker value, about roughly in the same neighborhood, and you're like, I'm sorry, everybody, but it's like it's a kid car.
A 488.
Yeah,
because
even the newest cars.
Like, I've had a go in a 488, and drive one.
By the way,
a fucking lovely.
They
thing.
Haul ass. They feel good. They handle
awesome.
Well. But
and
I'm saying from a
solid,
like, we took
too.
This car down to the frame. Basically, all the body panels. We took all the suspension off. We did exhaust.
First time I've heard this about Ferraris. But how is the sum of it that much greater than the parts?
It's just that. You're absolutely right. The sum of all the bullshit is that good. You know,
it's
that
crazy.
I hate to admit it, but I drove a 458 Especial.
Yeah.
You know that
they're light.
That
they're,
we did
nice.
Motons on it and challenge car suspension and all the fucking.
Because that's necessary.
Yeah. Dude, the car was an animal.
Of course
animal.
It was.
We put 295s on the front of it and 345s in the rear.
What?
Like trying to tuck like 3.5 degrees
Riverty
of camera.
Walk?
It was a
Riverty Walk?
No, it was all like it was a
stock body.
No, stock body car on a it was a an SCCA, I forgot what class, but the guy won like 3 championships in it.
Oh really?
Yeah, it just crushed fucking everyone. And I remember driving, I'm like, okay, this is something special. So I get it, but from working on
it. From an engineering and construction standpoint, the way they put things together is instead of, you know,
the method
of engineering the perfect gap for this and it fits, they go, oh, it's close, we'll get, you know, fix this, get
rid
of the vibration.
Almost like you're like, fuck it, let's focus on this thing hauling ass. So like this, like what you said, like their method to their mayhem is different than the Germans. The Germans I'm used to working on is like very methodical. It's like do every move with purpose, right? They're like, I just want to go fast. Like, fuck it. Like, okay, fine. Make the bumper. Put a couple shims under it.
The turbos. They go here.
Put a couple shims under it. Yeah. It's going to line up. Mm-hmm. The like Porsche is like...
That's the most Italian thing
no,
ever.
It
yeah.
needs to be engineered so the thing falls together. I mean, it's pretty impressive. But, like I said, each one has their merits.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're really going to, but with Ferrari's warranty as it is now, they're really going to hate some of those decisions in a few years.
Well, what's crazy, no, the car, the thing is, the cars are reliable. They don't actually have to come apart much.
I've already seen a car with a blown up turbocharger.
In a 48?
Yeah.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
It's, but I don't know why, but yeah. It spit the fucking turbine out the ass end of the exhaust.
Okay.
Stock that's turbo, well, stock everything. But the car was hammered on funny. Track.
That's an expensive shart.
No, it's it. I mean,
$14,300 turbocharger.
And we have it.
The one turbocharger. But the turbocharger is beautiful. It's an IHI.
Is it that special?
Oh, no, I don't. No, nothing's $14,000 special. It's a fucking car.
It's a turbo.
Yeah, but the backing.
Is it variable geometry?
Nope. It's a wastegated turbo.
So.
But it's a twin squirrel. It's got twin wastegate dumps. The compressor wheels billet, like the backing plate. I don't know the technical term of what the backing plate is to the backside of the compressor housing, but that's all billet and beautiful. I mean, it's like, okay, fuck, holy shit, but not 14.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. You know, one of the most impressive side note, impressive pieces of underhood engineering I've seen recently is the shock tower mount. And on the Lexus LC500,
I've never even seen it.
Which it's is a cast ridiculous. Piece.
Is it beautiful?
And it is beautiful. And I'm gonna find you a picture of one if I can find an underhood. God damn it! I should have prepared
can
this
we have a screen up here. There with like all the pictures.
Here, look at
my new office. He kept giving me shit because we have like
not
our
not
ghetto
a great
office.
Picture, but that's it. Under the hood, it looks real crazy.
Is that part of the shock tower or is that a brace?
That whole thing.
That's, that whole thing's
tower.
A shock tower?
It's one piece.
That's beautiful.
Super, super cool.
I suggest everybody look that up real quick.
The LC500 shock tower.
I think that's
mount.
The first time I've seen a cast shock
tower. It's a cast shock tower.
Well, the 911, the GT4, that's all a cast shock tower now too, yeah.
Oh, is it?
I've seen the GTR, that's a cast shock tower.
Oh. Well, now you
I guess
get
I just haven't been paying attention.
You see a lot of that stuff lately. Integrated castings that are bonded or welded to the rest of the structure. And they get a lot of strength, but they also leave a lot on the table. I think it's a weight thing.
Oh, they weigh more or less?
Less, because a lot of times it's cast aluminum.
Yeah.
If I Google engine bay instead of shock tower, I get better pictures. Just right, FYI,
I'm gonna keep questions going.
If you Google LC500 engine bay, you get here's one without the yeah. Here you go, Batim. This one has those pieces, but without an engine around it. It's a cutaway.
Jesus.
Isn't that crazy looking?
All right, that's
that's fucking boss, right? These Lexus guys,
not going anywhere.
Yeah, yeah. It's super, super serious.
And then they put a little
you gotta
5
put that up on the
V8
website or something so people can
have
check it out.
Have you ever been up close with an LFA?
I'm sorry?
Have you ever been up close
to
an LFA?
Crazy? Looks like a rocket. I think we'd worked on a couple LFAs.
Dude,
no, sorry. We haven't.
LFAs are
no, that's
awesome.
That's the 10-cylinder, the car. Yeah. No,
the chassis. Okay, so that's got that same. If you look at the chassis and the way that's assembled, that's got the same thing as like the Carrera GT, like the level of finish on it.
Right.
Everything
I've heard it's amazing. Yeah.
This car.
I don't love that shit. I can appreciate the shit out of it. It's cool in my entire shop. It's not cool because I'm fucking paying them to sit there. But everybody's looking at it, just geeking out and appreciating like a naked car, like a Carrera GT.
Oh, with the cage in it?
Yeah, like something. Like just, you know it's good. You know, like I can't, I want to really see a naked LFA.
The LFAs they drive real good. Zach, you want to finish it up? We got one time for one more, and then we're going to call the game.
What's the dumbest wrenching mistake you've made?
Okay, immediately. Wasn't a wrench. This is all back when. I used to race 944s with Fordall in SCCA. And we did an 8-hour enduro at Portland. I wanted to do a quick fill gas tank in the 944. So I pulled the gas tank out, drained the fuel, or in whatever order, get the gas tank out. Took my hole saw, bored a fucking 2.25-inch hole in the side of it. And I was going to do a dry break up at where the normal gas fill is in the back corner. And so I drilled the hole. I cut my piece, ground it down so it fits perfectly, fish mouthed it against the corner of the tank. So I filled the gas tank full of water and Simple Green, shook the shit out of it, rinsed it out, dumped it, and then filled it full of water again. And I held that little nozzle so I can weld it, basically the spigot off the side of the gas tank. That would be my new fill spout. Keep in mind, everybody, I was 19 years old. It was full of water. I touched the MIG welder torch to the side of it to tack it on, and it goes woof. It just, I mean, there's still a lot of apparently gas like floating in the water.
Fireball. No.
It shot a 2.25-inch stream of water, probably 40 feet in the air. The gas tank goes boop, almost completely around into a circle. And I'm just sitting there with my eyes like open. I was like, holy fucking shit. I literally almost just killed myself with water and a MIG welder.
The water is what fucking saved your ass.
The water saved me. But like, so my boss was on the ground laughing. And he's like, you fucking idiot. He goes, what's wrong with you? I'm like, I thought I cleaned it out with the Simple Green and the water and everything like that. And, you know, like this is like 18 years ago. Anyway, so the gas tank was so blown up, I had to like jump on it to squish it back down. To get it to fit back
in the car. Did it fit back in the car?
No, so the transaxle, you take the transaxle out, the gas tank fits above it. There's saddles on each side around the 944. I had to take a transmission jack and put my friends in the back of the car and squish the transmission into the thing. Held 2 more gallons of fuel. That was the dumbest fucking move I've ever made.
Wow.
Yeah. Working on a car.
What, in that case, just out of curiosity, what should you have done instead?
I don't know. not been dumb.
They
like
have
that,
to sit for a long time.
Yeah, we were running first in that race too. It was a good race, but we blew a wheel bearing out. But
wow, dude,
craziness!
That was the dumbest shit I've ever done. Like working on a car.
So before we get out of here, what do you want to plug? You want to plug anything?
Not really. Yeah, BBI, of course. You guys do some cool shit.
We're going to have your videos. We're going to have two of your cars, collabs with HG.
Yeah.
The GT3 and then the Turbo Cab. That will be cool.
Yeah. You know what? I want to plug our Instagram because I have, I think, the fucking coolest followers. Some of this, the shit that these people post is pretty cool. And, you know, it's very, actually, like, you can tell people are really engaged because really educated questions. I wish we could have got to all of them. But, our Instagram, our Facebook, that's about it. I mean,
if you're in Southern California, you want a Porsche built, BVI Autosport. They do mile. What's your new shop fastest half-mile car?
Did you
just run a strong number somewhere?
Well,
with Jason's car or something?
No, we did I took a 997. I did 195 and a half.
That's very strong.
On a gearbox, and we just ran out of gear. So I was in fifth gear on the rev limiter. The only reason why I went faster is because we just raised the rev limiter from 7,900 to 8,500. So that's, I mean, every time I shift, it
would
just
stay. There's no point in going to sixth there.
No, so we're re-gearing that gearbox right now. I did 205. Starting
by re-gearing it, do you just do a longer fourth and fifth?
All of them?
Yeah. Oh, so you just do a final drive?
Yeah. No, it's all gears. You know, so
you leave the final drive, but you're doing all the individual gears.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. Crazy.
Yeah, and then I did in King Kong, I did 205 and a half, but I started in second gear because I blew first gear out trying to do a burnout in the gearbox or the burnout box. We're gonna come back with some stuff. You know, I think, you know, the half mile shit is fun because it's an exercise of engineering and what you can do and what you can't do, and so we learn a lot. I mean, honestly, we're always constantly learning.
It's interesting racing, actually. I enjoy half mile as a spectator. I think it's a fun sport.
Yeah, it's because you don't have rules. You don't really. I mean, you can just do your thing, and you know. And to touch back on, you said, like, if anybody has a 911 to build, you know, you don't even need a 911 to build. Just come by and check the shop out. It's we'll give you tours. You guys,
yeah, sure,
whatever.
The showrooms.
You
want. Kick
do you guys
ass.
Sell awesome. Seats and shit too? For
yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
there's
harnesses, seats.
You can visit my Mustang.
Yeah, or come by and see the famous Batim's new Mustang.
If enough people visit, they can all push it together.
Dude, I'm telling
you can ride in it.
I may give you that fucking car. I'm honestly tired of looking at it. I'm so annoyed with it.
I'm ready.
But like, I want to.
Let's find you a 2009 DFI 997.
Dude, the problem is like they're so like. When the Mustang is working, it is so awesome. I feel so fucking cool driving that car.
Yeah, because it's badass.
And when I hustle it through a canyon on the rare instance it's working properly, it is really fucking fun. It's got the turn in is so hard.
It's ridiculous.
And like it's like a muscle car, and it but it's small. It's like one of those like European like Capris or something, where it's like a muscle car, but it's little, and it's like I don't know. It really makes me feel nice when it works, but it fucking never works. I don't know. I'll probably just buy a Porsche at some point, but fucking
you have to.
Of course I have to, but you know, whatever. In the meantime,
I guess that bolt you left in his diff did its job, but
right. I'm slowly able to acquire this car. I just keep breaking shit.
What if you were Obama and I was Trump, and you were just sabotaging that car in the hopes that one day? What if your scheme was that I would just give you the car? That's not a scheme. If do you know how angry some people would be? Because people email me and they say, if you ever want to sell it, I'll buy it.
Yeah, but like, even before anybody emailed you, I told you the same thing.
I had
an affinity for that even car.
You know what's fucking crazy is I do this entire job and this show and all the things against my own interests as a collector constantly. I talk about cars I want to buy and the values go up, and then
you should buy them then talk about them,
right? Yeah. I should, but I do constantly. Am against my own interests. So if I there are people out there that would want to buy this car and would probably pay more money than it's worth to buy it, but and yet I for some reason I'm like would be almost okay with handing it to you for $0, and people would be screaming at their computers to find out I did something like that.
I'm surprised we're not getting like computers thrown at us through the window right
like
now.
It's not Minority Report right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, like I feel like somebody's going to crash through the window.
If we were live streaming, it might not be far.
I
from
might
the
need
truth.
Protection going home.
No, it's God. The car has got to fucking drive when I need it to drive. That's just the basics. The very
let's just get you in that thing for at least 5 days of hammering.
What's so crazy is whenever someone goes, "Hey Farah, I've got $8,000 to buy a fun daily. What should I buy?" And I go, "My answer is always the same. It's a canned answer. Something that works. That's my canned answer." And yet here I am, having ignored my own advice yet again, gone way over the deep end.
I'm so lonely.
Well, it's not so your daily.
Lonely.
No, to be fair, it's not your daily, though.
Boy, could we do a hell of a fucking 911 build for 20 G's plus a car, couldn't we?
Are you kidding me? light your world
cost.
Oh, my God. Cost.
All right. Well, we'll discuss the particulars of that arrangement on another day. And I'm going to get some fucking tweets after this, aren't I?
You're going to get hammered.
God damn it. Oh, boy. I'm not doing any of this shit, by the way. Thanks for these great beers you brought.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is delightful.
Yeah.
The Smoking Tire Podcast is powered by Shout Engine. Get your own damn podcast at shoutengine.com. You just need a microphone, computer, internet connection, things to say once
in a radio
in a while.
Voice.
You want to plug anything else? All your social media, BBI Autosport.
Yeah, the Facebook, BBI Autosport, our Instagram, and that's really about it.
You want to go out to the racetrack? You want to go out to the runway? You want to beat up on some exotics in a 20-year-old Porsche? Call them up.
We'll have fun.
Yeah, they'll have fun. You won't have any money left at the end of it, but you'll have a really good toy.
Yep, that is true.
Thanks for coming by, buddy.
Yeah, thanks
appreciate
for having
it.
Us. I always love doing this. It's
yes,
awesome.
Of course. Next week, actually, Dax Shepard is going to be on the podcast promoting chips. We have a celebrity coming on the program to promote an actual movie.
Badass.
And,
he's a car guy, isn't he? Mm-hmm.
He is a super car guy.
Super muscle car guy.
Everything I've ever read about Dax Shepard makes me think he's awesome.
Yeah.
Everything about him seems awesome. And I'm really excited. And I hope I haven't fucked it by saying on the record that he's coming on the show. He's not going to show up now that I've said on the record that he's coming
on
the show.
But as long as you guys all know that he was going to show up.
He at one point said... I spoke with him personally, and I spoke with his publicist, and at one point, both of them agreed he was going to come on the program. And if they don't show up, I've done the best
I can.
We
promise. This is not like this is not like the Grand Tour's shitty bit where the celebrity dies every time they approach.
No, yeah, you're not trying to kill any. Yeah.
No. Oh, and I feel bad because now I know Richard Porter listens to the show because he wrote me a note. And we kind of crapped on the Grand Tour a little bit, and he works on the Grand Tour. And
it started rough.
Speaking of better, though.
Speaking of celebrities, Joe Rogan's a big Porsche guy, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I got to meet this guy at some point.
He's a Sharky customer.
Well, he's in good hands then.
Although, you know, he is. Although, you should probably handle his maintenance and his day-to-day rather than him shipping the car to San Francisco.
Right?
Yeah, because he lives in L.A.
Yeah.
I can set that up. But he's he's got a 3.9 in a 997.1.
Nice.
You should bring Swan to him and take him for a spin.
What's your? Yeah, no, he would enjoy it.
Yeah, at least just put him in the car and just say.
I don't know about that.
Because Swan loans that car out to all his friends, and they just beat the death out of it, and then he brings it back, and then it's fine.
Literally, we one of the gnarlier. I mean,
but it's robust. It's like you're not. It's not.
I don't want to hear about robust. It makes me very angry. I want to hear about things that work for more than one day at a time. You know, you say that. Meanwhile, look what just happened with our friend here. With his 911, and which is apparently is partly yours, which I'm just learning.
997.2.
Well, it costs $400.
997.2. What if? How would you feel if my first 911 was a PDK?
It's fine.
I would feel like such a tool bag if my first Porsche
to me,
was
PDK
a
is good. Dude.
I know. The difference is if it's a PDK, I drive it.
Yeah,
I'd actually drive it. I'd actually daily.
You could daily it. Then you could go in the canyons. You press the sport button like we were talking about earlier, and.
Is there a DSC kit for that?
Yes.
There is?
Yeah.
Is it off the shelf?
Off the shelf.
It
ready
is.
To go.
Fuck. You got damn PASM?
Yeah, it's got it all.
God whatever. Damn it. How much are they?
I don't know, but we're going to find one.
Are they under 50 yet?
I think so.
I was looking at them.
972 Carrera S is under 50?
Looking at them this last weekend, 40 to 50, you can get a Carrera S pretty
for
nice.
For an S. Yeah. It's got to be an S.
And those cars haul ass.
They do.
They're fast.
They're fast.
They're faster than a 996 GT3 on track.
I know, but all these...
wow.
I can't have this conversation.
And then you just tweak it a little bit. I already got the exhaust dialed in. I got the suspension mat. I got everything you need. I got the back half...
He's thinking free Mustang.
Jerry, if you're listening... Mustang. Put all the parts aside. Put
What's
a mat pile together.
What's crazy is what I'm thinking right now is no more Mustang. That's what I'm thinking right now. I don't want to think that. It's fucked up. I don't want to think that bullshit. I don't want to admit defeat.
Can we just give it one more chance?
We have it. Well, it's at your fucking place.
Does it leave my place or doesn't it?
There you go.
Does it leave my place or doesn't it?
Oh, God damn it.
Do I fix the Mustang
car.
Or give you a pile
you know
of
what's
parts?
Funny? I fucking hate this car so much, dude. Why do I have to think like this
no, you
about
hate
this
to
car?
Love it. You love it, but you hate it.
It's No, I really just
I
hate it.
I can't quit you.
I really
can't quit you, Mustang.
Honestly, I really hate it. It drives good. It don't drive that good.
Yeah?
I drive all the newest shit. It don't drive that good.
Well...
For instance,
now you're just convincing yourself.
Right? Listen, I bet you.
I'm fine with him convincing himself right now.
What I love about this is that you run a high-end Porsche shop, yet we still come down to the old mechanic barter.
Yeah
exactly. Right? Yeah. It's gonna fuck.
I'll give you
yeah.
a roll bar, an exhaust, and a set of wheels. Give me that car.
I know it don't run right now, but give it to me.
Basket weaves look dope, though.
Yeah,
I know. All right, cool. We're gonna go. Peace I'm gonna go. My girlfriend hates me already. I'll see you guys later. Peace out. Next week is Dax Shepard.